using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 23rd of September, year of our Lord 2021, day 558 of the New World Orders. And we're going to take a look at how these New World Orders are shaping up in Australia and elsewhere. We have, we're not quite free in America. We still have kids being masked up while they chew in schools. Parents being threatened with calling social services if they leave their kids without a mask, and other kids taken to the so-called freedom room because they're not wearing a mask, and the next day they just say, well, you can't even come into school. But the vaccines are right around the corner, because we have Pfizer saying that they've approved it to five-year-olds, and we have breaking news that came out yesterday, released documents that were put out by a whistleblower showing the bioengineering of protein spikes with bats to have this enter through the skin with nanoparticles. Imagine that. We'll be right back. All right, today we're going to begin with where we are with the New World Orders.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order.
It's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the New World Order.
We must treat this New World Order, this new world of COVID, we must treat this new world of COVID, even in our own homes, with a high level of care and caution.
Okay, those are health officials in Australia. That is what is really underlying all of this, of course. We've got the New World Order. I mean, the New World of COVID. The New World of COVID, of course, is what I'm talking about, not the New World Order. That happened about 2 weeks ago. We were talking about 9/11. I don't think I played those for you yet, but I'm sure that you've seen those. But just remember the context of what is happening in Australia. And we're going to talk about how the CDC has been using their contacts in Hollywood in the same way that the CIA, that the Pentagon, that all these different government agencies, the FBI. I mean, for years, the FBI had a TV program named, surprisingly, the FBI. J. Edgar Hoover was all over that thing. These people, and he's one of the first agencies to really recognize the power of that. But all of these alphabet tyranny agencies use this to turn themselves into heroes. It's pretty blatant when you look at it, but we now have some documents that have been released with a FOIA report that shows, interestingly enough, and there's been quite a few of these pandemic films that have been made, but one of the most interesting ones was released on the 10th anniversary of the anthrax attacks that were part of 9/11. Yeah, New World Order indeed. The Bushes and their New World Order, because when that came out 2 weeks ago, those Australian officials, back-to-back almost, two of them, health officials, you had immediately, it was debunked by Twitter, by YouTube, and by others. I said, you know, the New World Order, that's been used by a lot of politicians. George H.W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Tony Blair. See, there's nothing to it. when these guys are talking about the New World Order, that is one of the things that makes it so damning. But how has the government responded after the violence that we saw in Australia? Well, here's one example. Here we see some, this is the aerial view. And, of course, they've gone to great lengths to try to shut down any aerial views, but they can't stop people from filming outside of their windows and pyros. And listen to that. You see people running away from them, and they're shooting people in the back. In the back. And when you talk about what is justified, since when is it justified to shoot people in the back that have not committed a crime? The only supposed crime is that they were protesting the overreach by their government because the government told them to stay indoors. You know, when we have a situation, somebody breaks into your home, if they break into your home, if they're coming at you, you're entitled to stand your ground and shoot them to defend yourself. But if the person grabs your television set or something even more valuable, who needs a TV set anymore with the news that's out there? But if they grab something valuable, let's say, let's say they grab a silver coin and they start running out the door, you're not allowed, even if it's a gold coin, you're not allowed to shoot them in the back. Because you're only allowed to use force like that when it is a threat to you. Now, these people are being shot in the back as they're running away. And it gets even worse than that. We have, several people have been contacting me from Australia. One person sent me a recap, said Facebook has shut down all live streaming. That's one of the things that they did. Cell towers were scrambled or shut down. So they shut down cell phone service. They shut down social media sites. They even told the press, the mainstream media, that they couldn't take aerial shots of things. Police put up a no-fly zone on media helicopters over the city so the crowd could not use television to locate the main group. The other way people find their way to the crowd is to follow the police helicopter. So today there was no helicopter flying. The police developed their new fixed-wing aircraft, deployed their new fixed-wing aircraft at a very high altitude, making it impossible to use it as a location marker. From what I've heard, no one could group up properly. There were groups, but they were all scattered around the city. Police patrols were rampant. People have been recording and are planning on uploading videos, and some of those we have. Teachers and nurses are also against it. They're planning on going to the city Friday with the construction workers. It'll be interesting to see if the riot cops shoot these people, because the majority of them are women. He said, I think tomorrow's protest is going to be a make or break for this movement, said the listener. It's going to be 50-50. I really don't know what the turnout is going to be. It's obvious this regime, no longer a legitimate government, it's a regime, is trying everything it can to stop this from gathering steam, which means that if it does gather steam, we win, and we know it, and this is what gives us hope. That's right. Standing together collectively for individual liberty. If you look at this picture here, this shows the news reports, video police ban media live streaming and aerial footage from the protests. And then subsequent to that, you had the Herald Sun reported that media organizations had taken them to court, and they won the right. They won the right. No, they had the right to film. And so some of that has shown up, but this was also posted on social media eventually. Complete blanket media blackout. Servers down for coverage. Facebook Live blocked on 90% of Victoria. But this is the image that you won't see today. Share it around. Look at that picture there. This isn't just construction. This is nurses, teachers, families. It's our whole communities. The police and the government are trying to stop you from seeing this. And if you don't think that's true, look at the media censorship that the mainstream media are contesting in court as we speak. So the mainstream media won the right to report some of this stuff. Well, I imagine that was a difficult decision for the government to make, right? To allow the mainstream media? Because the mainstream media is going to spend that faithfully. Here's a good example. Mainstream media report here. This is coming from AFP, Getty Images. Dan Android. That's probably what he is. He's a Chinese android. Freudian slip there. Dan Android's softly worded response to the riots. How servile can the media get to this dictator? Dictator Dan is what they call him. He said, acts of violence and disruption won't result in one less case of COVID. Well, tell that to your cops. Tell that to your public health officials willing to kill people for this imaginary pandemic. Yeah, it is a pandemic. We're not having a pandemic spike of cases. Right now, what we're seeing in many places is we're seeing a pandemic of the spikes that are being injected. That's why I call it the Delta farce. That's my strong hunch behind what is happening here. If you look at the epidemiology, if you look at the trends, you look at how this is changing. Interestingly enough, we just had a Delta variant somehow discovered. We've never had a situation like that with any other epidemic. Never had that with any. Have you ever seen, going back to Farr's Law in the 1840s, you ever seen a situation where the curve didn't just go up and come back down, but it kept going up again because there was new variations of whatever it is, typhoid, smallpox, diphtheria, measles. It didn't matter. Measles wasn't killing people. But some of these other diseases, like smallpox, you didn't see another smallpox variant. As a matter of fact, when you get the smallpox, then there's a couple of different main variations of smallpox. They didn't call them variants, but they're even more different from each other than a variant. And you get one smallpox treatment for multiple variations of it. So you've never seen a situation where you've had variants that pop up. And I'm calling total BS on this right now. I'm standing by that. I don't believe that this is coming from a variant. I believe it's coming from the spike because we've never seen that before. And we have seen how the variant seems to be timed not to something that is traveling around the world, but it seems to be timed to when these vaccination campaigns start in different countries. In every country, every area of the world, you can see this in the epidemiological stuff. As soon as you introduce the vaccine, somehow the Delta variant pops in immediately. No, it is the Delta variant. It's a Delta farce. So again, as Dan Android, softly worded response to the rights. Listen, he's so compassionate and so understanding and so long-suffering. This guy is a saint, isn't he? I ask you to think of your fellow Victorians. He sounds like Franklin Graham, doesn't he? Or the Pope. Think of your neighbor, your fellow Victorians. Doing the right thing over many months and following the advice of our health experts. See, that's it. You want to do the right thing, you want to do what the experts tell you. Follow the orders. You follow the orders, please. So, as they point out here, exactly what my listener said, they used police fixed wing. They took down the helicopters. Police chief said it was really challenging for us because of the spontaneity and the tactics that they employed throughout the day. You know what? You're going to find a lot of spontaneity when you start engaging in prohibition. That has always been the case. When we had our alcohol prohibition, you found people who were engaging in spontaneity and tactics to make sure they kept that going, whether it was speakeasies or bathtub gin or whatever it was. A lot of times it made things a lot worse and a lot more dangerous, but they're going to find a way to do it. They're going to find a way to do it. And this was also sent. Facebook has been contacted by Dan Android and the Victoria Police to shut down live streaming. Welcome to your rights as given to you by the oligarchs owning social media, collaborating with the despotic government. For your safety and health, of course. Yes, the brave new world order. That's what it is right there. So have they been communicating with each other? Telegram. I'm going to have to get on Telegram. I know I've had a lot of people send me videos. I haven't found a good way to download those. I can pretty much download videos from any platform except Telegram, and it's just another one of these things. I'm just reluctant to pile into it anymore. I've got so much stuff I have to do. But I'm going to need to get on Telegram because everything else is being shut down. But, of course, in Victoria, they shut down the cell phone towers as well. Uh-huh. They said they seem to be intent on random violence. Oh, yeah. Seem to be intent on random violence, said the police commissioner. Well, you want to see some random violence? Here's a guy at the Finders Street Station in Melbourne, Australia. I think this is a subway or underground station, something like that. And look at this guy. He's talking to, peacefully talking to some police. He's got a shield over his face. I don't know if he's got a mask. Look at this guy walks up. The cop throws him down. Look at that. Shit. Look at how hard that was. I want to show that to you again. Take a look at this again. So he's just peacefully talking. It's like the guy who was peacefully talking to the cops. All of a sudden, the guy jumps out and punches himself. Look at this. Look how hard he throws him down.
Oh.
What he's wearing on his face, that shield, just pops off. He threw him onto the concrete as hard as he could. Just body slams him from behind. Body slams him from behind. Look at that. Man.
Oh, shit.
So the police commissioner says they seem to be intent on random violence. I've seen a lot of random violence, unnecessary force by these police officers. So-called. Sucker punching somebody in the stomach while they're talking to you. And then they pile on, three of them. Same thing happens here. These people are predators. This is like blood in the water. You know, you've got some thug coming up and grabbing somebody from behind and slamming their head into the concrete, body slamming them head first into the concrete. And then the other guys go, yeah, now we can get it too. Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of jackals. We know vaccinations are our only ticket out of this pandemic, said Dan Android. There's no other way. Spare a thought for our healthcare workers who are working such long hours after patients, many of them who are struggling to breathe. Well, yeah, have a lot of compassion for your health workers, the nurses that you're kicking out because they won't get a vaccine, the nurses who have been working on this stuff for 2 years, the nurses who have seen people get vaccines, who have seen people get the virus and say, I'll take my chances with the virus. The nurses who, perhaps, they, as the doctors and Uttar Pradesh, the Indian state that had 200, it's Indian state, you've never heard of it, probably I never heard of it before, 241 million people, 10 times the population of Australia, two-thirds the population of the U.S. And they started giving ivermectin to the people who were treating patients, working with very, very sick patients, face-to-face. None of them ever got sick. That's not true of some of the people, the nurses who are wearing these ridiculous masks that don't do anything. But when they gave them ivermectin, none of them got sick, and so they started talking to the government. The government says, oh, well, you know, we don't want to have people get sick, unlike the Australian government, the American government, the Canadian, UK, European governments. They are concerned with one thing and one thing only, and that is injecting you with the precious. The precious. We have this precious. And you must be injected. It doesn't matter. Shut down the treatment. Take it away. Ban doctors who use it here in the United States. Instead, in India, they said to the doctors who were using, oh, it worked. All right, let's give it to everybody. And they stopped it. They stopped it. They don't have any cases. They don't even have any positive cases. When somebody gets sick, they give them ivermectin. If somebody is sick and they've been in contact with other people who are not sick yet, they give it to them prophylactically and they don't get sick. This is not about public health. This is about greed. It's about political power. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. You've got a virus that is going around there that we already have safe, effective, and cheap treatments. They don't want safe, they don't want effective, and they certainly don't want cheap. So he said, the more of us who get vaccinated, said Dictator Dan Android, the more of us who get vaccinated, the fewer of us who will end up in the hospital. It's just as simple as that. Well, that's a bold-faced lie. It's a proven lie. We have thousands of vaccinated people in the hospital, thousands dying, tens of thousands in the hospital, thousands dying. The viral loads are the same or greater than they are for the unvaccinated. It doesn't stop the spread. It doesn't stop people getting sick. The treatments that are being given to people are no better, quite frankly, than if they were to put leeches on them and to bleed them. And that's the way this is going to be remembered in the future. And these people who are part of this, they are discrediting the medical community. Not just big pharmaceutical companies, not just the government. And so, yeah, it's about force. It's simply about force. They've been sucker punching the country in the gut. They've been attacking people and slamming their heads into the ground for over a year with this stuff, metaphorically. Now they're doing it physically. So here again are the demands that they have. Number one, remove the emergency state powers immediately. Lockdowns to end immediately. Mask mandate to end immediately. Vaccine mandates to end immediately. Vaccine passports to be removed. That's just the first five. They've got 12 of them. As I pointed out yesterday, only one of these is about the construction stuff. And this is why you've got everybody coming together. You've got construction workers, nurses, teachers, families coming together to oppose this. This is the list that every country needs. Where are our Republican leaders? These people who love our freedom, Oh, they're out there playing partisan games. They're talking about Hunter Biden's artwork and things like that. They're concerned about everything other than this. Everything other than this. Look, I understand the border chaos. I understand how that's going to play out. I understand how they're destroying the country with this chaos by bringing in millions of people who cannot support themselves, will not support themselves, to try to take America, which used to be a melting pot of people who wanted freedom. Instead, now it's just people want free stuff. And these disparate demographic groups bringing in massive numbers of people from other cultures who don't want this culture, they don't want our system of laws, they will vote for whoever gives them the most stuff. That's why the Democrats want them in. That's the Democrat model for power. So I understand where this is going, and I understand the concern about it. I also understand nothing is going to be done. I mean, you've got Greg Abbott doing a photo op with a bunch of police cars down at the border, absolutely not going to make any difference whatsoever. There are many things that they could do that would be very effective, very simple, very cheap. Driving a bunch of police cars down to the border and lining them up for a picture is just nonsense. But that's the type of stuff that you get from Greg Abbott. So he's not going to protect any of that. And of course, Biden, that's what he wants to have. So I understand that. I understand the corruption of the Biden administration. But you understand that they are putting us in a prison. You know, you may be concerned, and you should be concerned about the massive bringing in of people from Afghanistan, from across the border, and the hypocrisy of all of that as far as this fake concern about a pandemic. But folks, it is the lockdowns, the emergency powers, the mask mandates, the vaccine passports. They want you fighting in these partisan fights that they've been manipulating us for decades. For decades, they've been talking about these same issues. And yes, they're getting worse. And yes, they're polarizing the country for a civil war. It's a big part of this. And unless we focus on this issue, we lose. So then they go on from that. They want the immediate resignation of several individuals. One of them, Dictator Dan Android, health officials that they have there, they mention specifically, the police chief commissioner, charges laid against officers for assaulting peaceful protesters, yes. And because this is began with the construction workers, open that up immediately. But then they also say mass distribution of ivermectin, vitamins C, D, and zinc. So if you were to make this global for every nation, you would take the first five items, you know, stop the emergency, state of emergency, which is how this all began by President Trump 558 days ago. I'm declaring state of emergency. Now you can do whatever you want. We're going to pretend there's no law. That's essentially a declaration of martial law so they could use these Model State Health Emergency Powers Act that they put in after they staged their false flag of the anthrax attack. Yeah, people died, by the way. You know, that's what makes these false flags work. I'm so sick and tired of hearing this nobody died nonsense. Yeah, people died with the anthrax attack. People died with 9/11. People died with these shootings. When people start telling you nobody died, that's because they're CIA agents like Pachinik who are trying to spin this stuff to discredit it. But no, they use real events. They use real murder to get what they want. You go back and look at Operation Northwoods. That's exactly what they were proposing. Now, let's kill a bunch of, I don't know, we could fly planes into buildings, they said, right? 1960, what was it, two, I think? It was before, maybe it's 61. Anyway, it was, they wanted to have an excuse to invade Cuba. And they said, well, you know, we could have some drone planes and we could fly them into buildings and we could have another drone plane that we're flying and claim that Cuba shot it down. We could have terrorist attacks on shopping centers. We could have terrorist attacks on our own military bases and kill some soldiers. How about that? That would get us going. They don't care who they kill. They'll kill their own soldiers. They'll kill American civilians to get what they want. So it's emergency state powers. And the lockdowns have to end. The mask mandates, the vaccine passports. And we need to have the mass distribution of safe, effective, cheap medicine that isn't going to line the pockets of these pharmaceutical companies as Trump did. to send shots around the world. Those are the things that we all ought to be picking up on. Get those six items and demand that from all of our governments. Tell these Republicans and all the other fake opposition in every other country, put up or shut up. Here's your list. Get these six things done or you're finished. We're not going to support you anymore. We're not going to give you any more money if you don't do this. So the entire construction industry is shut down in the state of Victoria because these people are willing to shut down all of society. They will shut down hospitals. They're doing that here in the United States. Nurses quitting because they don't have the vaccine mandate, so they got enough staff that leaves. They just shut the hospital down. They stopped delivering babies in one and another. In Texas, they're shutting down their entire hospital. They don't care. Shut down all construction. Shut down food supplies. We don't care. You're going to take the precious. You're going to inject the precious or else. These people who are so hell-bent on destroying everything in our society, the essential things in our society, you know, food, Medicare, medicine, those are essential services. They're willing to shut down these essential services now to get you to inject the precious. The government said all sites will need to demonstrate, all construction sites will need to demonstrate compliance with the health officer's dictates, they called it directions, prior to reopening, including the requirement for workers to show evidence of having had one dose of COVID vaccine before they return to work on October the 5th. The Property Council of Australia said the shutdown would cost the economy $1.1 billion a week. They don't care. They don't care. They have an agenda that transcends help. It transcends the money for everybody else other than the pharmaceutical companies. Nobody else will own anything. Nobody else will have anything. We will bankrupt you. We'll crush you. We'll burn your society to the ground. Take the precious. This single-minded obsession with this vaccine ought to be the biggest red flag that you can imagine, along with the fact that they have no liability. So Victoria Police before, this is a listener writing to me, Victoria Police before the protests got on TV said that they would be employing new tactics. We've now figured out what these tactics are. Deploying undercover police in unmarked cars scattered around the streets, bursting out of the doors, arresting people as they walk past in small groups. You saw that. You saw that yesterday. I showed you the picture. Guy is going over and he's in an orange vest, and it's a police car with a light on. He's chatting to them and casually, and you know, and there's no big deal. They're just talking for a little while. He starts to walk away. The back door opens up, and a guy takes two steps and punches him in the stomach really hard. He doubles up on the ground, and these other guys jump on him. And those guys were not dressed in black like the cops. They were in, like, greenish-tan military uniforms. So we've seen that tactic. Deploy the anti-terrorism unit in armored vehicles with a roof hatch. You've seen the pictures of that as well, right? They've got MRAPs just like our militarized police have got MRAPs. They pop up through the roof hatch and just randomly shoot people in the back as they run away. Shooting people in the back. As a matter of fact, you know, you talk about, well, they're just rubber bullets, right? Well, those are pretty serious. I've got a picture that someone sent me of someone shot in the back. He turns around, he shows it, and it is a whelp the size of an apple. It's like sticking an apple on somebody's back. Now, that's amazing. You know, he shows it from the side, he shows it directly. It's amazing what it did to him. Shot him in the back with that. You know, just randomly shooting people who are protesting illegal orders that violate our fundamental rights, that are not laws. Shoot him in the back. Also, deploying undercover cops within the crowd, running a psyop to confuse people, to steer them in a certain direction, which is usually to steer them in the direction of a massive group of police to arrest them. So they're embedding people just like you saw January the 6th, right? You had basically nobody there but FBI agents and the press. And one of them was dressed up, wasn't quite as recognizable. Most of them were laughably recognizable. FBI agents was like, oh, you'd never spot these guys, would you? One of the guys who didn't quite look like it had a gun, and they all surround him, and then he pulls out his badge, and, you know, it's cops versus cops. The group now refers to the Andrews government as the Andrews regime, right? Just call it the Android regime. That's what it is. The left, writes the National Pulse, the left cheered when Australians gave up their guns. Now they're being shot by their own government in the streets, shot in the back. 35 people killed in a Port Arthur massacre in 1996. The Australian government moved swiftly to ban pump-action shotguns and semi-automatic rifles. The proportion of Australians who even hold any kind of a gun license has fallen by 48% since 1997. The proportion of Australian households with a firearm has fallen by 75% in recent decades. It's not much use in the face of authoritarianism to have a prevalence of handguns owned by a very small section of society. That's not the way it works. It's there as a deterrent, as I've said many times, and I've defended this for 30-some-odd years with reporters who would say, well, you say that guns are a check on government power. What do you think you're going to do with a handgun? Again, same argument that I hear being pushed now by these politicians, Biden, Eric Swalwell, Beto O'Rourke. They're bragging about how their military can whoop us. Now think about that. Do you find that to be more idiotic and offensive and aggressive than anything that Trump has ever said? Certainly as offensive and idiotic as anything that Trump has ever said. These people are bragging that they want to have war with us because they do. Because they do. And we had reporters who would challenge us on that. And I said, well, you don't think that is effective? Well, you should read the history of the Warsaw Ghetto, how they tied down a couple of panzer divisions for quite a while, for many, many days, until they just burned down the entire city. Why? Because first they got a pistol, and then they used that pistol to get another, and then they used those two pistols to get a machine gun, and so forth and so on, and to defend themselves. And even a very heavy military could not do anything about that. But if you have the guns, the real purpose is to have a deterrent without violence. Just as we had both the U.S. and Russia build up big stockpiles of nuclear weapons, so it was very clear to everybody that it was going to be mutually assured destruction. It's like, well, if I attack them, they're going to attack us, and we're all going to die. And that's what the federal government needs to understand here in America, that if you attack us, Biden, Beto, Eric Swalwell, we're all going to die. So let's not do that. That makes about as much sense. What these people are bragging about doing is, and I've said this before as well, this is comparable to Nikita Khrushchev going to the United Nations, taking off his shoe and pounding the podium and saying, we will bury you. That was taken, and probably rightfully so, as a threat that they were going to start a nuclear war with us. That and other things being done in terms of arming Cuba. We should understand the same thing now, because now the government of the United States, as every other government in the world, has turned inward, fighting its own citizens. Economic sanctions are the way that you begin war. And we are now 558 days into economic sanctions here in the United States. The bullets may be rubber or non-lethal, as they euphemistically call them, but they're being fired at Australian citizens who have the audacity to want to go outside, to leave their homes, their house arrest, to live life normally. This is to create a culture of fear. Another listener in Australia says there's a new network of privately operated quarantine facilities being planned to offer user pays care of up to 5,000 overseas students, workers, and skilled migrants a month. The facility, which can house up to 700 people, is a majority owned by millionaire businessman John Foxy Robinson, a proud descendant of Ned Kelly, whose rags-to-riches tale of leaving school at 13 before working in an abattoir, building a fortune, has long delighted locals. But the goals of the Quarantine Services Australia, a new organization established to get the plan up and running, is more ambitious and could expand to other states, offering up to 5,000 quarantine places a month. The proposal is not designed to replace state-based quarantine facilities, but instead to provide a new privately operated system backed by big business, including Rio Tinto and the Business Council of Australia. You see, it's always when fascism comes, is always a partnership between big business and government. And so we've had multiple reports about how they're building these big concentration camps. The media is so excited about it. And now they're going to let some people make some money off of it as well. Same thing happened in the United States with the mandatory minimums and the massive number of people that we sent to prison, most of them for possession of marijuana under the war on drugs. And understand that that was that mandatory minimum and what turned into these private prisons for profit, incarcerating a higher percentage of people, higher number of people than any other country. That was a brainchild of Joe Biden. It was passed under the Reagan administration, but it was Biden writing the rules. You see how the Democrat, Republican, they're completely different, right? Ronald Reagan is completely different from Biden. Ronald Reagan said a lot of great things about liberty. Some of the best speeches on liberty you'll ever hear from Ronald Reagan. And yet he implements the Biden plan. Biden, who has openly opposed the idea of natural rights, of God-given rights, tried to stop Clarence Thomas from becoming a Supreme Court justice because he had said something once upon a time about natural rights. Well, nobody hates the idea of God-given liberty more than Joe Biden, and always has. But you got Joe Biden, the polar opposite of Ronald Reagan on liberty. And it's Ronald Reagan who's implementing the Joe Biden policies, along with people like Ed Meese. More and more Australians are seeking to leave the country. Large portion of the applicants, and they had about 38,000 applicants trying to leave the country. 15,000 of them for 3 months or more, but a large portion of them were rejected. More than 12,000. Australia is one of the few countries in the world that requires residents to apply for permission before leaving the country. One in four Australians reported knowing somebody who had committed suicide in the past 12 months. This is what they're doing to the people there. In New Zealand, close by, their COVID zero policy is making things even worse. Virtually the entire country is once again under an indefinite lockdown. I'm not saying even worse than Australia, but even worse than it has ever been in New Zealand. And so they have, in the city of Auckland, they have an alert level 4. You stay at home in your bubble. Isn't that an appropriate name? You know, first time I've ever seen anything like this. People so paranoid that they're going to catch some airborne thing and die was the Bubble Boy story. And that was dramatized, and it was a kid who had no immune system whatsoever. Absolutely no immune system. And the only thing that they could do was basically to put him in a spacesuit with everything highly, highly filtered. And so he's tethered to this breathing apparatus and walking around, and they called him the Bubble Boy. And that's the way they're treating everybody. You stay in your bubble. Because if you go out, you might get exposed to a virus, and since you don't have an immune system, you'll die. The only thing that'll save you is the vaccine. So stay in your bubble. Even if you get your vaccine, you're still going to need to stay in your bubble. Wear a mask, maintain social distance of 2 meters. See, again, where did this come from? This six-foot distance, as Scott Gottlieb, the first FDA commissioner of President Trump, who's now with Pfizer, he said, yeah, we just made that up. It's just arbitrary. CDC wanted 10 feet. We said, let's just go with 6 feet. All right, we'll go with 6 feet. Now the Biden administration wants to do it to 3 feet. It's totally arbitrary, capricious, arbitrary. There's no science whatsoever behind this. None whatsoever. And yet, that CDC regulation, just like the Trump shots, has now gone around the world. So they're locking everybody down in New Zealand using this arbitrary guideline that came from the U.S. CDC, 6 feet apart. You can leave your home to shop for essential goods, to exercise in your neighborhood, and to receive necessary medical care or to get a COVID test. You notice that they put the COVID test separate from necessary medical care. Even they know it's not necessary. And then the rest of New Zealand is at level 3. This is like the DEFCON stuff, except that, again, it's war against its own people. So the country's police and military are installing security checkpoints throughout New Zealand to ensure that nobody travels anywhere. And as part of that, you've probably seen this story. This happened, I think it was on Friday. It's been around over the weekend, where they were, they scored a big hit. I mean, they found something really dangerous that was happening. It's a good thing they had these roadblocks everywhere in New Zealand, because they caught, as they put it, a gang that had a car trunk full of KFC takeout. I should have gotten Norm MacDonald doing some of his Colonel Sanders commercials. You caught me. Yeah, I'm not the real colonel here, but yeah. A gang, they call it a gang associates, two gang associates that had a car trunk full of KFC takeout. This is how absurd the idiocracy has gotten, to the extent they were doing prohibition of KFC. See, if you're going to accept the idea that the government can prohibit without any, even any legitimate laws, without amending the Constitution, because we had to amend the Constitution of the United States to get alcohol prohibition. Now, they don't have a constitution in New Zealand, but they do have a system of laws. And the idea that we now have people who are accused of being gang members, who are accused of smuggling, quote-unquote, fast food. Let me just say this. If you're going to talk about public health, I think before you lock everybody in and before you lock people down and before you destroy people's businesses, maybe what you ought to do is just get rid of all the fast food corporations. Shut down McDonald's, shut down KFC, shut down Chick-fil-A, shut down Burger King, all of these things. Just shut them down, because fast food is a much greater health risk to the population than the virus is. It's a much greater risk. So just shut them down instead of locking us in our homes. Yeah, it's a level 4 alert. And they actually took a picture of the police car so you could see the word police written on the hood. And they took the stuff. So there you go. There's like six bags of stuff that they stacked up on the hood. And then they've got three buckets, three big buckets, and then three tall things, which I guess are sides. I haven't eaten in Kentucky Fried Chicken in a long time. It's probably been about 15 years. Last time I ate in Kentucky Fried Chicken was in China. My daughter. And it was a strange thing because, and I look at this and they say, well, you know, KFC is having problems getting chicken. It's a nationwide poultry shortage. So KFC is starting to use vegan nuggets. So there you go. There's a problem solved. If they go vegan, nobody's going to want to go to KFC. So, you know, you don't have to worry about contraband. You don't have to worry about fast food stuff being sent around, because once they start making the nuggets vegan, probably nobody's going to want to have these things. Yeah, they found three buckets of chicken, 10 cups of coleslaw, a large package of fries, and four large bags containing other stuff after they searched the car. See, there you go. So that's what we're concerned about now, illicit fast food. But when we were talking about the vegan nuggets, when we were in China, you know, we were looking around, having a real hard time finding anything that we really recognized. And, you know, it was choice of partridge and some congee, some fish lips, or we got Kentucky Fried Chicken over here. Well, kids, what do you want to eat? So we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I don't know what this was. Maybe they got different birds there. It wasn't vegan. It was some kind of creature, because they wouldn't have gone to the trouble of putting a bone in the inside of it. But the little drumsticks were real short little drumsticks, and they were white meat. It's like, that's interesting. So maybe the KFC did not represent chicken. Maybe it was just Kentucky Fried creatures of some sort, undetermined. But it was a creature. It wasn't vegan. But there is a poultry shortage now in the UK and the US. Shortages of everything popping up everywhere. Why? Because they're shutting everything down. So they said, our plan is to try to replicate what Kentucky Fried Chicken has as close as we can without actually using chicken. And said, we're pretty bullish on that. Are they trying to take Chick-fil-A's? Where they have the cows and they say, eat more chicken. They say, we're bullish that we can get rid of the chicken. Eat more chicken. Meanwhile, Chick-fil-A is closing parts of their stores. Around here, they've had to close the dining room because they don't have enough staff. They just don't have, they can't find workers. That's what they're talking about. They said they're worried they're going to have to close stores. They've got the chicken for right now, but they don't have the people. And when they hire people, the people don't want to work. And they said a lot of the people that they hire resign within their first couple of weeks. They have my daughter working 50-hour weeks because they can't find anybody. And it's crazy. Restaurants are now closing their dining rooms again as the Delta-driven infections are spreading, says the Wall Street Journal. Again, it's the Delta farce. This is a pandemic of the jab. It is not a pandemic spike of cases. It is a spike pandemic, and we're going to talk about that coming up, what has been revealed about their Operation Paperclip gain-of-function out-of-control experiments that's now been released by some whistleblowers. Let's talk a little bit about masks, but we're going to do that after we take a quick break. We'll be right back. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
And we do appreciate APS Radio carrying us. We also have Aftermath FM carrying us live. We are part of the beta test at Odyssey. It was interesting yesterday to see a lot of people saying that they had been kicked off of Trovo. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, there were people who said, all I do is go here and play Minecraft, and I don't do that too often, and they kick me off or something like that. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what rules are violated with that, but you can find us on Odyssey. You can also find us on DLive. Those are not monetized, actually. I think you can leave some credits. There's like a crypto credit thing or something on Odyssey, and we've received some of those. I do appreciate that. Thank you. Those of you you use that then to promote other videos. So we haven't taken anything out of that. I don't know even what the well, the dollar value of that is. They have a cryptocurrency that I'm not really familiar with. So there's been a little bit of those credits that we can use then to help to promote the video. So that helps a little bit. If you want to know how we're doing, you can check out the gas gauge at thedavidknightshow.com. It's getting close to the end of the month. We're slightly over half there. So there's a lot of different ways that you can support us. You can leave tips for us at Subscribestar. You can sign up for anything from $5 up on a monthly basis, but you can just leave individual tips there. We also have links to Zelle as well as to BitChute. And there is, I'm sorry, not BitChute, Bitcoin. We are on BitChute. You can, and actually you can leave tips there. I don't think we've ever gotten a tip off of BitChute, but there is a possibility to do that. You can use Bitcoin. We also have a P.O. box. So we do appreciate your support. And don't forget, most of the people listen on podcasts. We have podcasts that are distributed out to all of the major podcast companies except for Spotify. They don't like me. And so they ban me. But we're everywhere else except for Spotify. And they come from two different places that host the show. There was one, Spreaker, was where my show was hosted when I was at InfoWars, and it took us months to get that out of their hands, out of InfoWars' hands. And so in the interim, we set up the real David Knight Show. And then eventually we're able to get that back. And so now both of those are sending things out. So, and you can go to directly to those sites. You can go either to Podbean or to Spreaker. They both have apps. They both have the capability that you can live stream it or download it, or you can use the apps from both of those sites. Or you can pick it up when it is pushed out to a lot of other sites, iTunes, other places like that. So there's a lot of different places where you can find the podcast. Getting back to masks. And really what is happening to children. I think this is the most heinous thing. The way that they are psychologically injuring children and physiologically injuring them as well. Making them wear these masks for hours and hours and hours, all day. Remember, OSHA said, in an environment that is very dusty, to protect your health, you're going to have to wear a mask, but not for more than 20 minutes, an hour or whatever, and you have to let people out and give them a break. But they're doing this to young kids all day. And so this is something that is a physical problem. You can see the bacteria accumulating on people's faces, face rash, like a diaper rash. Why? Because it is literally a face diaper. We joke about that, but it really is a face diaper. The way that you eliminate waste, you have a couple of different ways to do it. We all know about number one and number two, but you've also got exhale the waste. And and that's the same as wearing a dirty diaper all day. But then there's also the psychological issues. People being afraid to go bareface. I mean, they're conditioning people to that. But it's also for young children, the fact that you have cut off from them the human contact to being able to read people's emotions. And that is a very, very big, and it gets to be bigger the younger the children are. So you put a mask on their face. They can't see smiles or frowns, and it's hard for them to pick up on those symbols. And so what they're doing is they're raising an entire generation to not have the appropriate human connections and responses to other people. They want everybody connected to their boxes and connected in the ways that they want to manipulate us. It is very much exactly down the line of what B.F. Skinner did when he put his kids into isolation. This is a guy who is very effective at training animals using positive operant conditioning, not just punishing them if they did the wrong thing. Like, you know, if you're housebreaking your pet, your dog or something, and they soil the rug, you know, you stick their nose in it and spank them. That's not effective, really. Instead, he said, let's do this. We watch their behavior. When they do what we want, we condition them to a clicker. And so they associate the click with being treated. So you click and treat, click and treat, click and treat until they think they get this Pavlovian connection to the clicker, that it's good. And then you start doing things to kind of get them to do the right behavior. And when they do the right behavior, you click that behavior. And occasionally you'll give them the treat, but not all the time. They call that positive operant conditioning, and he was he had amazing success in terms of training all kinds of animals to do all kinds of things. And then he did it to his kids in terms of experimenting with them psychologically, putting them in isolation and other things. That's what they're doing to your kids now with these mask regulations. He was widely criticized for that, but his writings and his book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, widely adopted by child psychologists, widely adopted by the educational institutions, and now being pushed by the educational institutions against your kids to raise a generation of people who are anti-human, who can't relate to other humans. This is exactly what they're doing. As I've said many times, all this stuff about lockdown, right? That was only prisons, and then they started doing it in the schools, and they put officers in, and they put in metal detectors and said they're making them prisons because they're training the kids to live in prison. They're training the kids to live in the prison of their own home and to not have any contact with anybody. That's what this mask stuff is about. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Washington Elementary School. This is a Montessori school. Said, we're just following the orders of the Washington State Department of Health and the CDC. But they went a little bit too far, they said. The parents got upset about it. So they, after taking several steps forward, they take one step back. An elementary school in Washington State has walked back a policy requiring kids to wear face masks to chew, to swallow, or to talk at lunchtime. They walked it back after some outraged parents complained about the bizarre rule. Geiger Montessori School in Tacoma, Washington, just outside Seattle. They said after placing food in their mouths, the kids were asked to raise their masks while they chewed, swallowed, or talked, according to KTTH, local station. One parent complained to the station, said the rule was insane. The radio station reached out to the school, or TV station. The school said that the rule was based on guidelines from the CDC and the Washington State Health Department, so it couldn't be wrong, right? The RT article says, however, the Washington State document states, notice that it says it's a document. So the CDC doesn't write law, does it? Does the Washington State Department of Health write laws? No. Do they have any authority to tell your kids that they got to wear a mask? No. But we pretend. We say, well, they got a document where they wrote it in a document. Students must remove face coverings to, may remove face coverings to eat and drink. Otherwise, it'd be kind of messy, don't you think? Masks cannot be worn, such as when eating lunch. But you should abide by those social distancing rules that were arbitrarily picked to be 6 feet, right? We don't know what. It could be 3 feet, 6 feet, 10 feet, who knows, who cares? Let's just have a rule that we make them follow. That's the key thing. We're going to come up with arbitrary rules for you to follow. It doesn't matter if it makes any difference or what. You will follow these rules. You understand what this is about? Masks, according to the CDC guideline, they say they make no mention of wearing masks at lunchtime, except to say that students have to mask up when moving through the food service line. Well, see, there you go. CDC allows you to have a little bit of freedom. Don't you feel better now? So, got to wear the mask when you're going through the line. But, you know, while you're eating, there's nothing about that. So, we've got a little bit of a loophole. They're going to give you some eating privileges where you don't have to wear your mask. And then I got a letter and a video from a listener in South Carolina. He said, the day before this video was taken, he said the kids were segregated. His kids don't wear masks. So he said they were segregated into what they call the Freedom Room with four other children, grades kindergarten through second. That's his term for it, the Freedom Room. They weren't that cynical. I would imagine. Welcome to the Freedom Room. You know, take your seat in the Freedom Room. You guys want to be free? Okay, we'll give you freedom. You want to be free of the mask? Well, we're going to lock you in this room here. That's basically what they did. So he said his kids were put in there with four other children, grades kindergarten through second grade, because they would not comply and wear a mask. The county schools in Charleston are now turning children away that won't comply and wear a mask. This violates state law. It is out of compliance with the South Carolina Superintendent's Office. And so this is a little bit of the video that he sent me, the encounter that he had as they blocked him leaving his kids off at the school, and then he was threatened by a school resources officer, like a security guard. He threatened to call the Department of Social Services on him, and so if he left the kids there without a mask.
I'm just saying, so listen, they asked y'all to leave.
What are y'all going to do?
So the only thing...
What are you going to do with them?
You can't leave the kids at the school day what? After
leaving. They're students.
I'll call DSS.
You're going to call DSS? You're going to call DSS for... Well, how come the kids can't be here today?
Okay.
I'm just curious. How come the kids can't be here today?
Okay. Go take your kids away.
How come they can't be here today? You can't tell me, can you? Illegal mandate. Come on, kids. Let's go. God forbid you go into DSS. Do you have the authority to call DSS? You told me you were going to call DSS. Do you have the authority to call DSS?
If you're going to leave your children here, I'm going to be told to leave with them. Yes, I will.
So, all right. So, y'all as a school are telling me to leave with my children. Can my children come today?
Not
today. All right. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day.
Okay. That's it, right? And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed it while he's panning the camera around. There's a great big sign, okay? Hands are holding the earth. And on the earth, it says, creating global leadership locally. Where have we heard that slogan before? For the longest time, the Marxist left has said, we want to think globally and act locally. That is what they're teaching. So, you know, once you, you can get them into the school, they're going to be teaching them all the other stuff that you don't want taught. But that's what it comes down to. You do what I say, I'm going to take your kids away from you. I'm going to call social services. Here's the opposite approach in Florida. We have DeSantis, who, and he is having a lot of success. We'll talk about that in a minute when we get into headline news. The Republican Party is basically just swamping the Democrat Party in Florida. Why? Because of freedom. Now, I know that DeSantis is not perfect on this freedom issue. He's pushed vaccines and other things like that. He's pushing the monoclonal antibodies and things like that. But the perception, whether he is, he has done some things which are more than what Abbott has done, more than virtually any of these other Republican people have done. He's done some concrete things to support people's freedom to push against these vaccine mandates by cruise lines, by stores, by schools, to push against the vaccine mandates by employers. He's the only, you know, well, Governor of Montana, Republicans in Montana have done that as well, but he's pretty much by himself in terms of this. And as a result, they're just skunking the Democrats. I grew up in Florida. Florida has never, ever, never had a Republican majority. I don't think even during Reconstruction did they have a Republican majority. And the Democrats are just crashing and burning there. Why? Because of liberty issues. You know, DeSantis has done some things in terms of restrictions for social media. That's the way it's been perceived. Now, the reality is that he's protected the free speech primarily of politicians, not of individuals. And prior to that, he had gone to Israel and came back, and he made it illegal to criticize the government of Israel. You understand how that... But nevertheless, the perception is that he's standing for free speech, just like the perception is that he's standing for freedom, standing against, and he really is standing against, the vaccine mandates and passports and mandates for employment and things like that. That is real. This is a winning formula. Standing for people's liberty, especially now that they've had a taste of tyranny, that is something that would unite us. It is a winning formula, and you've got to ask, why is nobody else in the Republican Party doing this? They're not stupid. They're not stupid. They're bought and controlled. And they're all bought and controlled to some degree or the other. But DeSantis is at least making moves in the right direction now. And here's a move that he made in terms of appointing a new public health official. He's the state surgeon general. This guy's name is Joseph Latipo, Harvard trained, born in Nigeria. And here's what he had to say as he was just appointed the new Florida Surgeon General with DeSantis. Introduced him and standing in the background, but here is Dr. Joseph Latipo. He's, again, from Harvard. He's a professor of medicine. He's teaching at the University of Florida, and he is the Surgeon General now in the state of Florida.
So the first is that Florida will completely reject fear as a way of making policies in public health. So we're done with fear. That's been something that's been, unfortunately, a centerpiece of health policy in the United States ever since the beginning of the pandemic, and it's over here. Expiration date, it's done. So we're compassionate. We get it. You know, there are scary things. We've seen a lot of fear from COVID over the past, almost past year and a half, and it's very understandable. But the way to approach that is not from a place of fear, because it doesn't lead to good decisions. And we've seen a lot of that, where the risks and benefits of decisions haven't been considered wholly or thoughtfully. So that's over here.
All right. That was great. And he went on to talk about some other aspects of it. I really love that. We're done with fear. Fear has been the policy. Fear is the mind killer, as we have the Dune movie about to drop. That really is a mind killer. And I said this from the very beginning. I said, regardless of what this is, and I thought there was a good chance that this was a bioengineered weapon coming out of Wuhan, the only place in China where they have a biosafety level 4 lab. I said, whether this leaked or whether it was designed and released intentionally, whatever. That's the worst case scenario, right? That you create a bioweapon and you release it intentionally, and we'll have some more updates about that coming up here. That's your worst case scenario. But even in that worst case scenario, the worst thing that you could do, what would make that worst case scenario even worser would be to lock everything down where you can't have food and can't have medicine and you shut down the supply lines and nobody can eat Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. The worst, that'd be the worst possible scenario. So you're shooting yourself in the foot. You're committing suicide. Now people are literally committing suicide based on this. I said the worst thing we could do are all these lockdown policies. So this is the tack that is being taken by the new Surgeon General in Florida as a representative of DeSantis. He said there's a lot of good pathways to health. Vaccination isn't the only one. We support measures for good health, such as losing weight, eating more fruits and vegetables. He said, we must respect human rights with our COVID policies. People do have autonomy over their lives. And it's not okay, it's not virtuous, and it's not right to just take away those rights from individuals. How in the world they find somebody that graduated from Harvard that talks like this? Maybe he picked up those values in Nigeria. I don't know. He said, there's a climate of mistrust that has been created by this fear. He said that was a direct result of scientists, my colleagues, some of them, taking the science and basically misrepresenting it to fit their agenda. This idea that people don't get to make their own decisions on issues of health is wrong, and it is not something that we're going to be about. As a matter of fact, what he said was also, we're going to make a clear distinction between the data. We're going to show you the data, and we're going to make a distinction between the data and the conclusions that we draw from it. In other words, we're not going to argue from a standpoint, I'm an authority, I'm a doctor, I'm the Surgeon General, I'm Fauci. We're not going to argue and use this academia approach. Instead, we're going to go back to real science, which is empiricism. We're going to take a look at data. We're not going to hide the data. We're not going to, and if you think that we're manipulating the data will be there and you can see it. But hiding the data, manipulating the data, and then hiding it has been the tactic for all of this stuff, for climate change as well as the pandemic. They have the same tactics, as I've said to you over and over again, same tactics of hiding the data that we saw in ClimateGate. The temperatures are not going up with the increase in CO2. We got to hide the fact that they're declining. How are we going to do this? How are we going to manipulate the data? They were caught conspiring to do that in the ClimateGate emails. And then when we said, we'd like to see your data, no, you can't see my data. Group I was with sued him, and they pretended that that was his own private data, even though he was working for the government, working at a university, being paid by the government for that research. The research was published. The research was used to create public policy, but still you can't see the data. And we're seeing the same thing happening with this pandemic stuff, the way that they're manipulating it. This is really about weaponizing psychiatry, writes the New American, and they pointed out that they had some quotes from Tucker Carlson, who covered a law student at a particular university, and because he questioned the face diaper requirement for students. It's not required for professors. It was required for students. Right? Oh, it's all about science and medicine. It's about power. It's a power play. This is the same thing about having people go to these metropolitan gala events or anywhere else, and it's only the people who are serving them who have to wear the masks. Now, this really is a hallmark of a corrupt elitism and a dystopia, when it's only the little people who have to wear these masks of humiliation and shame. How is this any different from the Muslims who mask women? It's not. The second-class people, women in the case of Islamic societies, the second-class people, those who are non-essential servers or whatever, waiting on people, those are the people who get the mask. And so, as a New American headline says, weaponizing psychiatry. Authorities calling people mentally ill, forcing them to see shrinks because they oppose government policy, which in this case is COVID policy. So in this particular case, it was a law school. This student who did not wear it because, again, it didn't apply to the professors. Perhaps he had something to say to them about their elitism and their hypocrisy. So they immediately suspended him from school. And they went, listen to what everything they did. They threatened to call the state's bar associations, multiple states. We're going to notify all the state's bar associations to make sure that you never become a lawyer. Even if you leave this school, we're going to poison the water. We're going to take away your career. You'll never, never become a lawyer. Then they accused him of being mentally ill. Said, we don't know if you're even psychologically capable of following the rules. It was years ago that they came up with this nonsense, and I called it at the time. It was a new disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, ODD, O-D-D. I said, oh, isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient that if you question authority, if you question tyranny, you must have oppositional defiant disorder. You're psychologically crazy. I said, do you realize where we're headed? We're headed to the Soviet Union, which is where we are now. If you question authority, you're odd. You're the odd man out. In the Soviet Union, dissidents were declared to be insane because by definition, you know, if you oppose what the government says, you know, you're going to go to a gulag. So you must be crazy. No further questions needed. No further exams needed. But in the particular case of this law school student, besides threatening to call all of the state's bar associations and say, make sure this guy doesn't get in, he's mentally ill, they said, we want you to go for psychological evaluation. As a condition of readmission, said Tucker Carlson, the school required the student to submit to a psychological assessment test, then to meet with a psychiatrist for a counseling session to see if he was mentally ill. And before doing any of that, the school's deans also required the student to waive his right to medical confidentiality so that if they chose, his results could be made public, maybe sent out to these bar associations, right? You should know, said Tucker, that the student was never diagnosed with any sort of mental disorder. He's rational, he's calm, he's highly functional. That's how he got into that law school in the first place. At no time did he make any threats against anyone. He merely pointed out that the mask policies don't make any sense. They pointed out that the emperor was wearing no clothes and the professors were wearing no masks, in other words. For that, he was likened to a mass shooter. And it was implied that he was on the verge of committing violence against them. You know, it wasn't that long ago, back in 2019, that Fauci dismissed masks as a paranoid tool. That was his term, paranoid tool. And at the beginning of this, as I said, you know, one of the things I had an issue with Mike Adams about was he was yelling and screaming, Fauci needs to mandate these masks. If we don't stop this bioweapon that's coming out of Wuhan, we're all going to have to take the vaccine, and we don't want to do that. I said, are you crazy? Don't you realize the mask is a placeholder for this tyranny? They can mandate a mask for you. The next thing they're going to do is mandate a vaccine for you to live your life, and that's exactly what the plan is, and he should have known that. I think he did know it. But Fauci dismissed it as paranoid in 2019. Trump never fired him, of course, throughout 2020 or 2021 when he could have fired him. And then that brings us to that young child, we heard the child gasping, could not breathe. The American Airlines pilot turned the plane around, kicked them off, kicked the mother and the child with asthma off. Pictures of her putting an inhaler over the child's mouth. And then when they were called out on it, they doubled down and said, we're proud of that. We did the right thing. This is why I don't want to fly. 20 years of this nonsense, running this tyrannical dictatorship after 9/11, running that through these airlines has turned them into monsters. Turned them into monsters. You want to know what corporations are capable of doing when they're given the ability to act as minions, security minions for the state, and then paid to do it? Well, take a look at what's happening in the airlines right now. So as they kick this two-year-old off the American Airlines plane, they point out asthma is not generally covered by CDC medical exemption policy for people wearing masks. Most countries don't require masks on children that young. But in the United States, The CDC doesn't make an exception for somebody with asthma, even a child with asthma, even a child that in other countries is not required to wear a mask. I've said many times, my father, many people in my family, I had a cousin who died from asthma. She was in her backyard gardening. She was in her 40s when she died from an asthma attack. I've watched my father suffer with an asthma attack. I just can't explain my anger and contempt for people that would not make an exception for somebody that has asthma, that would put a mask on their face. Because I've seen so many people in my family struggling to breathe. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable tyranny. Again, these people want to kill us. They hate us. They hate everything that we're about. This is from a listener, a Subscribestar supporter. Both my wife and I refuse to take the experimental injection under any circumstances. We're not going to participate in any passport systems. He says, we're fortunate that we live in a Christian and conservative rural area of Ontario. He said, the other day my wife visited a farm market. She said, on being asked by the proprietor if she was, quote, one of us, that is, someone opposed to the pandemic restrictions imposed by Doug Ford, she was invited through a door that was marked employees only into a full supermarket behind the farm stand. Later, I told my wife that she had found her first underground market. I took this as evidence of an emerging parallel economy that we must build with our fellow citizens who take liberty and their God-given rights as expressed in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms seriously. I agree with your proposal that we have to start by working together with like-minded people at the local level. Yeah, I had a conversation with a pastor who was talking about what he's doing with his church to help him. He said, I was just talking to the elders and saying, you know, I think we've got to start looking at how we're going to be more proactive in terms of helping people in the congregation. We need to help them to learn some skills to survive on their own. He said he has some land and he's putting together a garden, and he was suggesting and making the offer available to people in his church that if they want to learn how to do that, that they can come there and do that. Or if they are living in a situation like if they're in an apartment complex or something like that, they can use the area that he has to act as their garden, to tend it. That's what we're going to have to start doing. You need to start looking for people like that. This is also from another listener. and they said, I'm sorry, this is the same one. I had printed that out twice. But they also sent an article from Bloomberg. Confused about masking? Well, it's time to get tactical. Tactical. So they talk about all the ways that you need to be wearing your mask. And they say, well, you know, it's good if you are wearing a mask, even if somebody else isn't, because it really cuts it down. But you really got to have it being done by both sides, right? Again, your seatbelt doesn't just protect you. Your vaccine doesn't protect you. Other people's vaccines protect you. Other people's seatbelts protect you. Other people's masks, other people's motorcycle helmets protect you. So it's not just you wearing a seatbelt or a motorcycle helmet. It's not just you with a mask or a vaccine. No, other people have to wear that as well. Researchers found, said Bloomberg, a 29% percentage point increase in mask adoption led to an 11% reduction and symptomatic COVID prevalence where surgical masks were distributed, and a 35% reduction in people over 60. This is an epidemiological study that was done in Bangladesh in 600 villages. It is a flawed study. First of all, it's an epidemiological study, and as people have pointed out in this false study that's being touted by Bloomberg, they pointed out that it had absolutely nothing to do with the masks, right? Because it didn't control for an awareness campaign. It didn't control for many other factors that were involved there, people staying home or whatever. It didn't control for any of that. And we've had a lot of studies that have shown in Denmark, They had a study that showed that there was no significant effect on infection from wearing the surgical mask either. And by the way, you're talking about Florida. Denmark is even better. Denmark's just shut everything off, all this COVID stuff off. They've completely opened up, completely free. So you take a look at Denmark, you take a look at Florida, you ask, what is going on in Australia and New Zealand? What is going on in the rest of America? Why are we still playing this game? Why are we listening to Fauci? Why are we listening especially to the CDC? And why are we listening to Bloomberg? Because they're putting out fake information. In the Bangladesh mask study that Bloomberg is talking about here, they were using cloth masks. They said they found a slight reduction from 0.76, 0.75% antibody prevalence in control village, where there was no mask, to a 0.75% prevalence in cloth mask villages. So in other words, it went down from 0.76% to 0.74%. That, folks, is such a tiny sliver. That is not statistically significant. You don't have anything. You don't have anything at all. I mean, you have a situation when they tested remdesivir, which, by the way, nurses have now nicknamed run, death is near. Remdesivir, run, death is near. They know what that's about. But when you looked at the remdesivir studies, the first one that was in during this COVID so-called pandemic, there was a study that was put up on the World Health Organization site, and it showed that you actually had like 3 or 4% more people who died that got remdesivir. Now, you know, they took that study down after a couple of hours, and within a week, Fauci put out his own study, and it showed that it was 1 or 2 percentage points less people who died. Neither one of those were statistically significant. You know, when you start to do these evaluations, if something is just 1 or 2 percentage points away, that's saying that there's no difference at all. These people are looking at this mask study and saying that it is 0.02% difference between the people who had cloth masks on in their village and the others who didn't. There was no difference whatsoever, folks. And there were other problems with the study, again, because it did not control for other things that were happening with these people. So we've had better studies that were done. They cherry-picked the studies just like they cherry-picked the numbers that they give you. And then they start talking about the gap. The gap is very important. Mind the gap. While N95 masks offer a higher level of protection, well-fitted surgical mask blocks most particles. And then, ludicrously, they show a picture of a guy with a big beard wearing a mask. And I said from the very beginning, well, it's like, you know, if I really do need to have a mask, even if these things were to work, I would be out of luck because, you know, I had just gotten back from snorkeling for the first time since I was in college. And I used to do that all the time. But now, with a mustache and a beard, it was like I didn't have a mask on at all. It just rushed in. So it's like, there's absolutely no way that if you can't wear a face mask to swim underwater with a beard, there's absolutely no way that a mask is going to stop virus particles from getting in. It's ludicrous. But in San Francisco with a marathon, they're going to make runners wear masks. Runners wear masks. This reminds me of Harrison Bergeron. You ever see that? Or, you know, it's a movie that was done. Sean Austin was in it. But it, you know, it was based on a book that was written by Kurt Vonnegut. And I imagine Kurt Vonnegut is spinning in his grave. No, he's not spinning. He's laughing. He's laughing because in that novel, they wanted everybody equal, right? Equal results. Not equality of opportunity, but equal results. And so they were going around and they were putting weights on ballerinas and things like that and athletes so they couldn't move any better than somebody who had no athletic ability. Everybody equal. And the dystopian totalitarian government got very upset when the dancers took those off in rebellion and then just danced the way that they could. But now we're living in a Harrison Bergeron dystopia. How many more dystopias can we put together here? I saw a meme on social media, and somebody had done a Venn diagram. You know, a Venn diagram where you have circles that represent something, and then you move them together where they overlap, and those overlapping areas where these two circles coincide, these two different factors coincide, that shows you a Venn diagram. Well, they had every dystopian novel and film that they could think of, and they had them all these different circles, and then the one little area where all of these things intersected, they colored that in, and they put a line and said, you are here. We're at the intersection of all of this sci-fi dystopian imaginations that have been going on for the last 150 years. Participants in the four San Francisco Marathon races have to wear masks on some portions of the course. See, this is because this is all about health protocol, because on some portions of the course, you will have to wear masks. Not on all of them. It's just about establishing their authority. And so they said, you know, if you were fully vaccinated, then you can pick up your packet inside. If you're not, you got to go outside, and you got to have a COVID test that's negative within 72 hours of the race. You don't transmit this if you're not symptomatic. And oh, by the way, if you're sick, most people would probably not be running the marathon race. Who knows? They might. You're going to put masks on people who are running the race. That's the insanity of this. So, they'll cherry pick their studies. They will tell you that you got to wear masks to run a marathon. They'll tell kids that they have to wear masks while they're eating and chewing and talking in the lunchroom. There is no end to this until we end it. Until we end it. We have to tell them we're done. We're done with all of it. Again, going back to what they're saying in Australia, you have a list. End the emergency orders, end all the mandates about masks and vaccines and passports, end all of that, and then we want you now to distribute these cheap drugs. You've distributed the really expensive vaccines that Trump spent tens of billions of dollars to produce and skipped the testing. That's his contribution to this stuff. That and the fact that he continues to brag about that as his only accomplishment. But he gave tens of billions of dollars creating 9 new individual billionaires for these three companies. 9 new billionaires in those three companies. And then delivered it for them, held them harmless from anything, and then sent these shots around the world, just like this 6-foot recommendation from the CDC. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about headline news before I get into the dark science that Fauci and this eco-health organization. Usual suspects, isn't it? Pull in the usual suspects. I want to see these guys in a lineup. That's what I want to see happening with them. But I want to talk a little bit about the other side of this 2030 lockdown, the thing that was setting up all the different goals at the very beginning, and that was the climate change stuff. Of course, last night they had their silly little program done by 6 or 7 late night, shall we say, comedians, but you got to put that in air quotes, comedians. They're no longer funny anymore. But they're turning in a big way to climate change. It is a big priority of Biden. Congressional Democrats and the Biden administration are now working towards an ambitious goal of eliminating coal-fired electricity and decarbonizing the U.S. electric grid by 2035. Actually, they're going to do it by 2030. They keep moving this back, and they will do it. But at the same time this is happening, Asia is moving in the opposite direction, says Zero Hedge. This has been the issue with the Paris Climate Accord, the treaty. And the people who believe that there is man-made global warming, those people are very upset about the Paris Climate Agreement because they said it doesn't do anything to stop it. All it does is it transfers industrialization and these coal-fired plants, it transfers it from the U.S. and from Europe to China and Asia in general. And that is exactly what this is about. This is about deindustrializing the West and sending everything to China. All of this has been that way. I mean, they've shut down our factories and everything. Now they're going to shut down our power generation. Because, hey, you don't need factories. You're not building anything. It's the Chinese who are building it with their slave labor. So let's give them some more energy. Let them continue to build more and more plants without any restrictions, without any restrictions on the quality of the plants. Because you can make a very, very clean fossil fuel plant, quote unquote. You can make a clean coal-fired plant. You can make a clean natural gas plant. It costs a little bit more. The Chinese aren't putting that money in for those pollution controls. It's just the same difference between the expensive automobile that you buy and, let's say, a lawnmower engine that is blowing blue smoke. What's the difference? Well, you know, it's not just that they're both internal combustion engines, but one of them has a lot more complicated mechanisms to scrub that and clean that. You can do that with a power generation plant as well. There's absolutely no reason that we need to just prohibit coal and natural gas and shut down the plants that we have. We could invest money if that were the issue. We could invest money and we could make them cleaner. But as I've said, this really isn't the agenda. The agenda is not to clean the air. The agenda is not to stop so-called greenhouse gases. The agenda is to do a great reset. And they made this very clear. They have absolutely no interest, for example, in hydrogen electric cars, as I've mentioned over and over again, because they don't... That doesn't allow them to exercise the kinds of controls that they want. It's simply about control. So the House Democrats have unveiled a $150 billion, quote, clean electricity program to incentivize utility companies to phase out fossil fuels for clean energy. We experienced this directly this winter. As you remember, we were broadcasting in the dark. We still fortunately had cell phone power, so we did a show using the cell phone, streaming it to Twitter. And I was reading by candlelight because the windmills were frozen. And then in California, you had situations there because of fires that were shutting down renewable energy. And in the UK, we've now seen the same situation happening right now because the wind basically stopped blowing for the windmills. The problem is the renewable energy systems are not as reliable as these other ones. And again, they're not interested in cleaning up the air. They're interested in shutting down what people currently have and forcing you to buy the windmills, forcing you to buy the massive solar panels that are and batteries that are going to power the grid, because that's what these billionaires have already invested in. The same way they're going to shut down real food, real chicken, real pork, real meat, and force you to buy the lab meat that Bill Gates has bought in on the ground floor. It's just switching you to something else so these guys can make money and so that they can implement their great reset. So, you know, as they get everybody to go to the electric cars that are powered off of the grid, again, you know, not going to hydrogen cars because they got to focus everybody onto the grid. At the same time, they're pulling the grid apart. They're pulling it down. They're destroying the power generation capacity of the grid. At the same time, they're putting a massive, unprecedented amount of demand on it with electric cars. That's what's coming. That's the crunch. So, you know, don't worry, you'll all have electric cars and it'll all be clean. The only problem is there'll be no electricity available on the grid, or the electricity that is there will be so scarce that it'll be rationed by price, so nobody but the ultra-wealthy will be able to pay to charge their car, and then they will ban gasoline and diesel as well. This is the plan. This is the plan. They've been working on this for a long time. Democrats are asking power companies to take a huge gamble on renewable energy, and it would effectively kill coal-fired electricity in the U.S. if they were able to get this through. They said this new program would eliminate coal-fired electricity by 2030, if not sooner. So that's the goal. Everything, they have to burn down our society, literally. Take everything away from us. Take away our food. Take away our energy. Take away our mobility. Everything by 2030. Turn us into poor slaves. That's the goal. That's the agenda. And understand that cheap, available electricity is essential, not just for a lifestyle that is going to be a wealthier lifestyle, but also for life expectancy. It's not just a lifestyle issue. It's about life expectancy. They're working on destroying our ability to have cheap, available electricity in two different ways. You know, by overburdening the power grid with electric cars at the same time they take away the power generation. And the power generation being removed is even the bigger problem, because I think that's going to hit before they start to have enough capacity to really challenge the grid with electric cars. I think they're going to destroy it, as we're already seeing. So CEO of America's Power says you're going to eliminate or at least drastically curtail the use of natural gas to generate electricity in the name of so-called decarbonizing. Three significant grid issues this year, as they point out again, as I mentioned, in Texas and California and the UK, where now, because the wind stopped blowing, power prices have skyrocketed in the UK to the extent, as I pointed out yesterday, a fertilizer company, have two big fertilizer plants. They shut those down. One of the byproducts of the fertilizer plant was CO2. Remember CO2, the big villain of Al Gore? Michael Mann, all these other people. CO2 the villain. No, actually, CO2, necessary, natural, not poisonous, doesn't create global warming, but it is used as a vital part of food processing. Not just soft drinks, but a lot of food processing. That's gotten shut down, and so now they're saying, well, now we're not going to have any turkeys. See how this works? You take out, you remove one essential component of this, and you don't have anything. It's like iPencil. And I said that I spent probably about 40 minutes at the beginning of this pandemic when Trump was presiding over Fauci, shutting down everything, saying, this is not essential, that's not essential, and we're having shortages popping up here and there. We couldn't get food to the marketplace. At the same time, you had farmers destroying it. Why? Because they slightly adjusted the way it was being distributed. People couldn't get food through restaurants anymore, and these farms that were set up to support the restaurants didn't have any way to get the food packaged for a grocery store. So people are seeing empty shelves in the grocery store while on the farms they're destroying the food. I spent a lot of time talking about iPencil, that Leonard Reed essay going back to the middle of the 20th century, talking about all of the different components and how there wasn't a central planner who created pencils. There were all these different elements that had to come together. You know, you get the rubber from this area, you get the wood from that area, you get the graphite from that area. And what we've had now is we can't make pencils. Well, I mean, we don't have a pencil shortage yet because people don't use them that much. But the analogy that we're seeing now with food because of the renewable energy not working because the wind is not working. So that shuts down the fertilizer plant. That shuts down the CO2. That shuts down vital things that need to be done for food production as well as for food packaging and distribution. And so it's this rolling problem that we're seeing happening everywhere. It's as if all of a sudden, you know, you couldn't get the wood anymore to make the pencils, or you couldn't get one component, you couldn't get the brass, for example, or the rubber for the eraser. And so you've got pencils that are sitting around because they can't get the final part. And that's exactly what's happening with automobiles. Because this is Marxist central planning. But it is not a failure like Marxism has traditionally been. This is deliberate. This is not incompetent. This is not systemic and the faults of central planning. These central planners are planning to take everything down. That's what's different about this one. We've seen these types of shortages are endemic in centrally planned Marxist economies. They can't deliver the food. And so people see there's a line, they get in the line. They don't know what they're in line for, but they know it's something. And they don't know if it's bananas, they don't know if it's rice, but they know that they got to get in line, and even if it isn't something that they want, they can then use that to barter with other people. That's always been there in centrally planned Marxist economies. But now we're in a situation where they are planning to shut us down. That's the plan. And that plan is succeeding everywhere. So, as I said, the people who believe this nonsense that the sky is falling because of carbon dioxide and global warming and that it's man-made and so forth, they are very upset about this because they said, you're not really addressing this problem. You're going to allow China and India to continue to build as many power plants as they want, as dirty as they want, while you're shutting them down in other areas. But that doesn't do anything for global warming. And it doesn't. But Time magazine reported that China is planning to build 43 new coal-fired power plants and 18 new blast furnaces as we are shutting down and paying $150 billion to shut down our power plants here. We're going to pay a lot of money to decommission these power plants and destroy them while China is building capacity. China is leading the world in new coal power plants, building more than three times as much new coal power capacity as all the other countries in the world combined. Three times as much new power capacity as all the other countries of the world combined. It isn't alone in its reliance on coal, however. China and four other countries, Indonesia, India, Japan, and Vietnam, account for more than 80% of the coal power stations planned across the world. They will be manufacturing everything. We will not even have enough electricity to run our electric cars or our electric air conditioners or our electric heaters or whatever else. And that has been the plan for a long time. Motorists in the UK could be forced to pay per mile on all UK roads. Again, this is also coming. Eric Peters and I have talked about that for the longest time. Here's their scheme. They'll give you 3,000 miles a year for free. If you live in a rural area, you get another 1,000 miles. And then after that, you're going to be paying for every inch that you move. After only 3,000 miles. I mean, before I started working from home here with this podcast, I was putting on 36,000 miles a year on my car. Typical is 15,000 miles a year in the U.S. But after 3,000 miles, they're going to start charging you. Everything that you do, everywhere that you go, will be a toll road, and you'll be charged by the mile in the U.K. because they don't want anybody to have any individual transportation. And this is going to apply, of course, to the electric vehicles. That's why they are doing it by the mile, because you can't fill it up. Like I said, you can't fill it up with gas, with diesel. You can't fill it up with hydrogen gas. You can't do gasoline or hydrogen gas. All of those could be taxed at the point. But if you're going to just be plugging it in, they got to charge you now by the mile, and they're going to charge everybody by the mile. Even if you don't have an electric car, you'll be charged by the mile. And then they'll use that to monitor what you do. Federal Express and another company, Aurora Innovation, which is working on programming self-driving vehicles. Federal Express and Aurora are going to be launching a pilot program, an experiment. They're going to do a public experiment on the roads here between Dallas and Houston. And, what's to be concerned about with that, right? You're going to take 18-wheelers, semi-trailers, weighing 80,000 pounds or more before you load them up, and you're not going to have drivers there. You're going to let a computer run it. Nothing could possibly go wrong with that, right? But they're not concerned about doing experiments on the public. That's what this whole vaccine thing is, right? The precious jab. So they're going to have self-driving trucks. They say, don't worry, it'll be a modest number. How many does it take to kill you? It's just one truck that's out of control. They will have backup drivers for safety at the beginning. Then they'll remove them. We've seen what happens when you've got safety drivers there. Do you remember, was it Phoenix, I think? It was in Arizona. And it was Uber running their tests. And, of course, they had a safety driver behind the wheel. And the safety drivers, and the thing is good enough that it lulls them into passivity. And so they're going along, and all of a sudden you see, because they've got cameras that look forward and cameras that look at the driver. We could see the driver was sitting there, you know, on playing with her phone, looking down. And then at the last minute, you had somebody that was homeless with a shopping cart walking out of the darkness, and they get caught in the headlight right there as it smacks them. And then the person wakes up, because it's too late. The safety driver can't do anything. Safety driver is going to be lulled to sleep or lulled into playing with their cell phone, and they're not going to be able to respond to an emergency situation. That's absolute nonsense. These safety driver situations are useless. Furthermore, at first, the police tried to make an excuse. They said, you couldn't see that coming, and a human driver would not have been able to see that coming. The person was jaywalking. But other people said, but wait a minute, that's not how the car sees. The car doesn't use a visual thing. It uses LIDAR. And so it should have seen this person coming a long time before that. And then they came back and they said, yeah, but, you know, we cut off the emergency braking system because the system was kind of erratic. And now they're going to be doing experiments with autonomous trucks on the I-45 corridor between Houston and Dallas, about a 500-mile round trip. They said, by the end of 2023, we will launch our trucking business and we will haul loads autonomously between terminals without a safety driver. Because that has been the goal. You know, when you look at the very beginning of this autonomous driving, it was a DARPA project. And the purpose of this is to remove humans out of the equation. And the few people that are there, because we're going to have more than 50% unemployment in the transportation industry. And it's not just that. We're going to have, according to projections out of South Korea, by 2030, and this is a couple of years old, they said we would be replacing 70% of doctors and 70% of lawyers as well. This is one of the reasons why they're doing these vaccine mandates. They want to push people out right now. In the military and the police, and even in healthcare, it's very concerning because they are purging the institutions to have people that are going to be loyal to their agenda. People in the military and the police who are not going to have sincerely held religious beliefs. And so that's a key part of that. But the other part of this is the universal basic income crowd. Just as Bloomberg said when he was running for president, you know, we replaced those farmers. We don't need many farmers. And then we had the Industrial Revolution. We don't need those industrial. And now the smart people are looking at a way to replace everybody. And all we have to do is figure out how to keep you passive so you don't grab the guillotines and come after us. That was his phrase. Don't grab the guillotines and come after us. If you understood what these people are doing, you would be grabbing the guillotines and going after them. I'm telling you, he's telling you that. He's telling you that, and I'm telling you that as well. I understand what they're doing. I've watched them talk about their plans for the longest time. So Uber transferred all their self-driving business after they ran over that woman. They transferred their self-driving business to Aurora as well, same company that's going to be running this for Federal Express, and a deal that involved $400 million. This is big business. This is big business investing money to get rid of people. And that's really what all the climate change stuff is about. It's all about depopulation. Every bit of it is about depopulation. It dovetails perfectly. All the goals dovetail perfectly with the mass vaccination campaign, and all the things that have been imposed on us with this so-called pandemic. So then last night, they pulled together all of the so-called comedians, you know, the Jimmys, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, Trevor Noah, Stephen Colbert, all these people. And just like you've had Family Guy in the last couple of days release a COVID vaccine cartoon. See, this whole thing is a cartoon narrative. And this world has become such a dystopian satire that the people selling it to us are a bunch of people who used to be funny. But now they're just political clowns. Just like you had Colbert putting out the Moderna Pfizer song, cheering it on. I mean, what a corporate shill he's become. And make no mistake, this climate change stuff is a corporate shill. We had, speaking of the agenda to get rid of everybody, we had Bill Gates, and I'm sure you have seen this, but it bears repeating, to have Bill Gates, as he was being interviewed by NPR, Bill Gates had something very interesting to say about Epstein.
It was reported at that time that you had a number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, who, when you met him 10 years ago, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution from minors. What did you know about him when you were meeting with him, as you've said yourself, in the hopes of raising money?
You know, I had dinners with him. I regret doing that. He had relationships with people he said, you know, would give to global health, which is a interest I have. You know, not nearly enough philanthropy goes in that direction.
It was all about philanthropy.
You know, those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in he purported, and I cut them off. You know, that goes back a long time ago now.
It's ancient history.
You know,
that's
so there's
done.
Nothing new on that.
It Hillary Clinton style.
That you continue to meet with him over several years. And that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, I regretted having those dinners. And there's absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful.
Yeah, right. You have to be careful because I could kill you.
And,
who knows?
You know,
you mess with powerful people, you wind up dead.
Very proud of what we've done in philanthropy. Very proud of the work of the foundation. That's what I get up every day and focus on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's very proud of his philanthropy. You know, all this stuff of the vaccine, he doesn't make any money off of that. Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Makes lots of money off of that. I just give my money away. That's my orientation. I just give my money away. And who knew? I mean, he'd had a very public trial. It had been very, quite a bit was said about the fact that he got off. But Bill Gates didn't know that when he met with him. And it was just about the philanthropy. You know, we'd sat there and talking about how we could, give money away to people. That was what it was all about. No, Bill Gates is Bill Gates's dark side there kind of came out with, well, he's dead. And, of course, he would like for you to be dead as well. Take a look at this picture. I don't know if you can zoom in on that, Travis. The date on that is 2011, and this lady is holding, this was sent to me by a listener. So look at this. This is a picture that we saved, and this is going back to 2011, depopulation through forced vaccination, the zero carbon solution. Bill Gates was bragging about that. This is nothing new. He's been up to this for a very, very long time. It is about depopulation. All of this climate change agenda, as Bill Gates is very clear about it, he says you've got all these different factors, and you know one of them is population, another one is the, you know, this and that, and we got to take that to zero. I think maybe we got to reduce the population. This is what these people are about. It always goes back to killing people. The other side of this dark agenda is now being voted on in Switzerland. The Swiss people are now going to be voting on same-sex marriage. This is something that went through a few years ago, back in 2018. Switzerland had created civil partnerships back in 2007. In 2018, they gave homosexuals the right to adopt children as parents. And so some of the people in Switzerland, a formerly Christian country, you know, the Swiss flag, is the inverse of the Red Cross. It was a red background with a white cross on it. And the Red Cross came from a person who was there in Switzerland. What he did was he just inverted the colors of the Swiss flag. And, the Red Cross is based on Christian principles. This guy wanted to help other people. And the Muslims understand that it's a Christian organization. They make them They will not allow them to use the Red Cross flag or symbols when they're operating their countries. They made them do it as the Red Crescent. But it was Switzerland where that came up. Switzerland, again, has had a long history of being a Christian country. And so you had some people said, we want to have a referendum about this. So 2007, they had civil partnerships for same-sex couples and then allowing them to adopt children in 2018. So they put this up to a referendum, but it's not doing too well in Switzerland. There has been a slight movement in terms of the pre-election polls. A month ago, people who wanted to approve same-sex marriage was 69 approving and 29 opposing. That was at 69 to 29 a month ago. Now there's been a 6-point swing. It has gone down to 63% approval and 35% disapproval. So it looks like it's going to easily pass through in the formerly Christian nation. The UK, meanwhile, has approved giving puberty-blocking drugs to children under 16. That is being hailed by the Associated Press as a victory because, you know, they're going to be vaccinating kids under 16 without their parents' approval. They're going to be giving them life-altering genetic drugs or puberty-blocking drugs after they give them the genetic vaccines. Because they can approve of that, they can say that the kindergartners can decide what gender they are. This is what this looks like. Where did this all begin? You know, this has been going on for quite some time. At the very beginning of this, I pull up this picture, Travis. DIA celebrates Pride Month. Be proud of who you are. This is a picture going back to 2014. And in that picture, we have DIA director at the time, the Defense Intelligence Agency. Look at that. There on the left, who is that other than General Flynn? General Flynn, the guy who's going to save this country, according to the Trump cult. And who is he handing an award to? Well, that is a guy, Christopher Beck, who called himself Kristen Beck and dressed up as a woman. He's a former Navy SEAL. I don't know if you can zoom in on that picture or not, but, I mean, this guy, this quote-unquote woman, is obviously a man. Big jaw there. I mean, this big guy. But this is what Flynn was doing. He was celebrating Pride Month. Kristen Beck, the first openly transgender retired Navy SEAL, given an award by General Flynn, the guy who was just leading a theosophist prayer in a Christian church this last weekend. General Flynn. Yeah, that General Flynn. It's a cultic prayer in a Christian church. No mention of Christ or Jesus, but instead talking about the sevenfold enlightenment and other code words that are part of this pagan ascended master's philosophy. And here he is back in 2014 giving an award to a transgender retired Navy SEAL. Flynn's opening remarks stressed the importance of maximizing the potential of everyone at DIA. He said, be proud of who you are. Diversity is our core principle, said Flynn. Do you think that he's any different than Milley? Everybody talks about Milley and about this current group of leaders that we have at the Pentagon, but this guy is going to save us with Trump. This guy is trying to set up a military coup a few months ago with Trump. You know, as this book coming out by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa talking about what was happening called Peril. In this book, I believe this is true, even though it's coming from Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, the Washington Post people. This does ring consistent with what we heard from these people, what we can infer from them. The 6-step plan for Pence to overturn the election, as presented by a lawyer, John Eastman, who was working with Trump and others. And what he did was he gave a plan to Pence. He also sent information to Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, and to Senator Lindsey Graham. The effort to sway Pence was just one of several behind-the-scenes attempts that Trump's team undertook ahead of January the 6th. Eastman's memo was sent to Mike Lee of Utah. Rudy Giuliani tried to convince Lindsey Graham, and Lee said, "You might as well make your case to Queen Elizabeth II. Congress cannot do this. You are wasting your time." Why? He said he was told Trump said to Pence, as they had a private meeting, Trump said to Pence, "You really need to listen to John Eastman. He's a respected constitutional scholar. Hear him out." In the memo, he suggested that Pence should take action without any warning. He said the main thing here is that Pence should do this without asking for permission. Do what? He wanted Pence to declare Trump the winner. We know this, right? Trump was upset about that the day of January the 6th. He was criticizing him for that. To declare Trump the winner with more Electoral College votes after seven states were thrown out, he would have had 232 votes to 222. Anticipating howls from the Democrats protesting the overturning of the election, the memo proposes that Pence would instead say that no candidate had reached 270 votes in the Electoral College. That would throw the election in the House of to the House of Representatives, where each state would get a vote. And since Republicans controlled 26 state elections, a majority could vote for Trump to win the election. Now, I talked about this 3 days before Alex fired me for opposing this January the 6th nonsense for the same reason. It was clear that was what their plan was. And I wrote about it. You can still see the article that I wrote 4 days before he fired me. I called out this Stop the Steal stuff that he had been engaged in over the weekend. I said, this is pure nonsense. You're doing this for no reason other than getting money. And here's the mathematics of how this has to work. They had just, on that Monday, had the votes tallied from the states at each individual state level. They would tally the votes for the people who were electors. And the way that this works is, you have, before an election, every party that is on the ballot, I know that because Karen and I were electors for the Libertarian Party 1 year. If you get on the ballot, the party says, all right, you know, we got, I don't know, it was like 12 or 13 in North Carolina at the time. So we got to have 12 or 13 people's names we put on here. And if, you know, by some meteor strikes the earth or something, and the Libertarian Party candidate wins in North Carolina, then you will go, you'll be, you're not going to go anywhere. You will be the electors. And so it is a winner take all. So the Democrats have their slate of electors, Republicans, same thing, and any other parties that are on the ballot have the same thing. The candidate that wins, all of those electors then meet somewhere and vote, and that result is sent to Washington. That was what was being tallied on January the 6th. And so I said, in order for this to have worked, because by that time it had already failed, I said, the mathematics on it, I think there's maybe a couple of days left. Maybe it was the following Monday where it was going to happen. So you got like 2 days left, and this is what has to happen. I said, mathematically, you could get Biden below the 270 votes if you looked at four states that were razor close. Very, very close margins. And in two of those states, you had Republican legislature and a Republican governor. And two of the other states, you had a Democrat governor and a Republican legislature. But I said, if you could make the case to these Republican legislatures, instead of the court system, if you could make the case to the Republican legislators, and if you could get three of these four states, and I gave the combinations of what it would have to be, but you could get three of the four states to agree that they didn't think that the official certification of Biden being the winner was legitimate. And if they would then say, we're going to send the Republican legislators' votes to Washington, if that were to happen, then you would have the official Board of Election electors sent, and then you would have a second slate of electors sent by the House. Now, the Constitution says that the House of Representatives will decide that. Now, that would have been challenged, especially in one of the states, if one of the states that needed to be flipped that had a Democrat governor. The Democrat governor would obviously challenge that. But they were on very strong footing because the Constitution says that the House of Representatives will make that determination. So I said, if they would have done that, if they would have gone to the House of Representatives, if they would have made that case to Republican majorities in those four states, they could have sent different slate of electors. And then there would have been something that Pence could have done. He could have said, well, I don't know, we got a very confusing thing here. I've got two slates of electors that are coming from these. I'm going to recognize the ones from the House of Representatives because they are that's what the Constitution says. And even if you threw out those four states because you did have multiple slates of electors, then it would go to the House of Representatives to be decided again with a 26 Republican states, and there's a possibility then that Trump would have won under that thing. But they never had Republican legislators or electors sent. You had some Republican parties that met and said, here's our electors. But that's already been done. That wasn't anything that was done by the state legislature. It had to be done by the state legislature, not by the state Republican Party. That had no meaning at all, because at the very beginning of this process, the state party of every party comes together and appoints electors. The whole thing was a bunch of nonsense. And they wanted Pence to just, throw himself against the Constitution. And it wasn't just Mike Lee. You had Thomas Massie saying they haven't given us anything to work with. We've only got one slate of electors sent from each of the different states. We've only got one to pick from. We can't just arbitrarily throw them out. You didn't even give us a chance to choose between two different ones. Lee was shocked by the claims that the memo was making, since no state had considered, let alone put forward, any alternate slates of electors. Same thing I said back on December 14th, I think it was. No alternate slates of electors have been selected, put forward. Lee's head was spinning. He said no such procedure exists in the Constitution, in any law, or any past practice. Eastman had apparently drawn it out of thin air, quote unquote. Well, that's going to make a lot of people hate Mike Lee, but he's telling people the truth. You want to know how you win? You take a look at what is happening, as I said before, in Florida. Democrats, says The Hill, Democrats face a bleak outlook in Florida. Why? Because liberty is a winning issue. If Trump would have stood for liberty, it wouldn't have been a problem. Trump could have stopped this lockdown. He had the ability to do it. He had the bully pulpit. He was president. He could have fired Fauci. He could have met with the Republican National Committee. They could have had a convention. He could have had events around the country showing that it isn't anything that we need to hide from. Instead, he played along with all of this. He played along with it. He was a partner in all of this. He betrayed us in all of this. If he would have stood for liberty, if he would have stood against this pandemic, this is why the Democrats are burning down in Florida, because it is popular to stand for freedom. If you do something, instead of just blowing smoke like Trump did. And again, I'm not saying DeSantis is perfect, but he's done more than any of these others have. One Florida Democrat official said, it feels a little bit like we're kind of set up to fail. We don't like tyranny. And if we could have anybody, as we're seeing happening here in Florida, who will stand up for that, it is not even a chance, especially now that we've had a big taste of it under Trump and Biden. We really don't like it. People who have come here from communist countries really don't like it. People in Australia really don't like it. Problem is, we don't really have too many choices out there, do we? We have precious few people who will stand up for any liberty, anywhere. As one person said, without a full frontal, professional, and accountable partisan effort to turn it around sometime before the end of the year, there will be more Republicans registered in Florida than Democrats, and that has never happened before. To give you another metric of this, besides just registration, look at the money that they have. DeSantis raised $5.5 million just in August. Just in August. His two opponents, likely opponents, Crist and Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. Fried chicken? I don't know. Anyway, these two have $2.5 million and $2.8 million each. He raised more in 1 month, twice as much in 1 month, more than twice as much as his two opponents, his two Democrat opponents, DeSantis did. And that's just in 1 month. Altogether, he's got $53 million. And the Democrat challengers for governor against DeSantis have $2.8. He's got 21 times more money in his political action committee. Why? Because he's taken a stand for freedom. The media hates DeSantis. They're always attacking him, but the people want freedom. Take a look at the two parties. Look at the Democrat Party versus the GOP Party in terms of money. The Democrat Party has $406,000. The GOP has $6.3 million, 16 times more. So DeSantis has 21 times more than his rivals. The GOP has 16 times more money than its rivals. Liberty is a winning proposal. And like I said, they know that, which makes it all the more sinister that they won't do anything about it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and rollers have beaten.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Let's take a look at the toxic medicine behind all of this. The dark research, the dark programs. Yeah, this is something that was designed. Leaked documents show that DARPA considered giving $14 million to EcoHealth Alliance. Yeah, Peter Daszak, right? The same guy who's been behind all these different questions about gain-of-function research in China and other places with Fauci. The DARPA considered it, but DARPA backed off because they said that's gain-of-function. How many times do we have to say it's gain-of-function? This back and forth with Fauci saying, it's not gain of function. It's obviously gain of function. It fits everything about it is obviously fits the definition, as Rand Paul said. But you know, of course, nothing is going to be done about this. They're not even going to come after him for committing perjury. There ought to be a charge for him doing gain of function research, trying to spread this around. And so here's what these people were doing. They were creating what they called, quote, novel chimeric spike proteins. How many times are we going to see this kinds of transhumanism, this kind of genetically modified organisms, including animal organisms, including viruses and bacteria, pathogens, as well as the kind of research being done by the NIH and the FDA, creating transhumanist organisms to test their pharmaceuticals, to produce their pharmaceuticals, humanized mice produced by the bounties that they put on human babies, shipping the parts fresh, not frozen, paying them as they initially contracted for some of these, $12,000 will pay you for these specific baby parts, and then eventually paying them five times that, $60,000. And this is your government at work. I mean, every bit of this is what we've seen before with the military-industrial complex. This is the medical-industrial complex. And so EcoHealth Alliance, back in 2018, sought $14 million to have novel chimeric spike proteins. It's always about the spike proteins. You notice that? They've always been focused on that. That's why I say it's this genetic code injection and spike proteins that has always been their focus to get that out. We don't even know what this virus is, if it's anything that is different or not. There's a lot of coronaviruses out there. The PCR tests are magnifying this, but you got 59 different tests looking for 59 different mRNA. And they said some of it, we did synthetic mRNA, some of it we did partial, some of that we did whole. That's different test companies were looking for different things. Some of them just made it up. They synthesized it, and that's what they're testing for. The FDA said we can't even compare one test to the other because they're all looking for something different. And yet that's what's been used to lock down the world. These tests where they don't even have the same thing they're testing for. Forget about the Delta variant. That's total nonsense. That's utter BS. Utter BS. And so you have, is it a virus? It's always been about the spike proteins, engineering these spike proteins, and then releasing them by putting them in a nanotech particles that could penetrate the skin. What are you being injected with these genetic code injections? You're being injected with a synthesized spike protein, and it's being encapsulated in the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. It's being encapsulated in polyethylene glycol, PEG, which in and of itself, they were warned at the very beginning that that would cause anaphylactic shock in a lot of people. Who they don't care. They don't care. You know, you had Children's Health Defense Fund. They had their scientists contact the FDA and said, a lot of people have allergies to PEG. We don't care. Call Pfizer. They call Pfizer. Yeah, thanks for letting us know. We don't care. We don't have any liability for any of that stuff, right? Who cares? So they have nanoparticles that have a chimeric spike protein. So, again, it has always been not the virus, but the genetic code injection. This was released by a group called Drastic, a web-based investigative team of scientists from around the world. They got this with another scientist, an unidentified whistleblower. This is good. A lot of these people have had enough of this. A lot of these people are very concerned, and rightfully so, about what Fauci is doing and the people he works with. Very dangerous. Peter Daszak, the British zoologist at EcoHealth, right at the center of all this, as usual. Fauci's partner in Frankentech. DARPA's Biological Technologies Office rejected the project since it would, quote, potentially involve gain-of-function research. They said, we're not even going to assess the risk of this because it's gain-of-function. We're not going to do that. Even DARPA, who's out there messing with people's minds. I mean, you got this, you know, one of these funding rounds, $200 million for the Brain Initiative. They got electroceuticals, and they got brain initiatives, and DARPA is talking, you know, reading your mind and implanting different memories that you didn't have. Oh, we're going to do it to help the military with PTS and PTSD. We want to take away those bad memories and give them new memories. You know, you really weren't in Afghanistan. You were in Hawaii. Let's just put it that way. Speaking of which, now I just said Hawaii. That's because the listener who I showed the massive, he sent me a video. He said, look at this. And I had shown a video once before where they were protesting, and it really expanded. They have thousands of people. And so he said, we're getting some ground with this. And the mayor has called us and said, what is it that you want? If you stand up, they're not threatening anybody. They're peacefully standing alongside the road, holding signs, people going by, honking the horn in agreement, and it continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. If we stand up for our liberty, if we stand up for our freedom, if we don't just quietly go away, they'll turn around. And Hawaii is predominantly Democrats, and Democrats are loving this power trip. So the fact that the mayor would reach out to them says a great deal. So good for those people in Hawaii who are standing up. But again, DARPA is capable of doing the most heinous things, and yet even DARPA doesn't want to go where Fauci goes. Fauci-funded scientists plan to release the coronavirus in bat caves, put them in nanoparticles, create these spike proteins, and release them on bats. On bats. Yeah, it is not a pandemic spike in cases. It is a pandemic of spikes. Chimeric spikes, protein spikes. That's what the pandemic is. It's not a Delta variant. It's a Delta farce. That's a fictional narrative, a lie created by people like Fauci, who will lie to you about gain of function People like Fauci, who will lie to you about masks, he'll lie to you about social distancing, he'll lie to you about the fact, take my vaccine, I'll let you loose. None of that applies. This guy lies about everything. And he is involved in some of the most dangerous research that scientists have ever been involved in. The scary part is that they were making infectious chimeric MERS viruses, said the source. Said MERS viruses, M-E-R-S, have a fatality rate of more than 30%. Well, this is not anything that's going to stop the National Institutes of Health. I told you they brought in Burkholderia pseudomallei. It has a case fatality rate of 45%. I mean, we shut the world down because Fauci said so, because Trump said so, because Trump made vaccines and so forth. We shut the world down over something that has less than a 1% case fatality rate. They're messing with things that have 30%, 45%, and they're making them more lethal, more easily spread. That Burkholderia pseudomallei, that was a bacteria that only existed in two places on Earth, and they brought it into their Tulane lab. Tulane, you know, the people who did the Tuskegee syphilis experiments. Tulane, that's been at the center of a lot of this Ebola stuff that's going on. There's questions about Ebola as well. Was that something that was bioengineered? Oh, no, it just jumped from monkeys to people, just like this other virus jumped from bats to people. It just happens. Yeah. It happens if you do a little bit of tweaking, doesn't it? So the other part of this is the skin-penetrating nanoparticles. Besides being gain-of-function, besides being protein spikes, it's also nanotech to be absorbed through the skin. And we've had a lot of crazy plans from these people to deliver more toxic medications that they call vaccines via skin penetration, skin absorption. Dazak hadn't fully considered the dangers involved in enhancing the virus via gain-of-function research or by releasing the vaccine into the air, they said, as they released this. This may be a bridge too far for them. You know, it's just amazing to me, as we're talking about a bridge too far, and I mentioned how the Bilderberg group, they're at the Bilderberg Hotel at the site of the last Nazi victory in 1945 that was memorialized in that movie, A Bridge Too Far, Operation Market Garden. The two principals there, the British guy as well as Prince Bernhard, who was considered to be by many people a double agent, and the British guy, Lord Carrington, who stopped the reinforcements that allowed the Nazis to get it. 10 years afterwards, at that very location, they start Bilderberg, which was a plan to unify Europe. At that very first meeting, they produced a plan to have a unified currency, the euro. And so it's kind of interesting to me to see that the CDC was funding a movie, Contagion, on around the 10th anniversary, rolled out the 10th anniversary of the anthrax attacks, 2011. And it was pushing the same agenda. There's actually a picture from the movie where they got a guy in a hazmat suit and he's reaching out in his bubble suit to take a flyer off of the window of a car. And the flyer says, the only part of it that I can read is it sets up on there, says the CDC lies. Oh, we got to get rid of those people who call the CDC liars. Well, the CDC doesn't just lie. The CDC funds propaganda films via Hollywood, just like the CIA does, just like the military does. Just like the Chinese government does, right? We do those types of things as well. The Chinese do it as well. The CDC's role, this is an RT story, CDC's role in the 2011 film milked the publicity, but they also generated that. They said the CDC is one of the fastest growing federal agencies of recent decades. In 1987, their budget was only $590 million. But by 2020, it had ballooned to over $8 billion. One journalist said, if the agency had grown with inflation since 1987, it would have had a budget of about $1.3 billion today. But instead, it's $8 billion. It's 16 times bigger than it was. And it's not even a legitimate government agency. This is like the Federal Reserve, where these guys can make money on the side. It's a 501c3 corporation. They also sell vaccines. They make money with vaccines. But from the federal side of it, from the pretense that it is some kind of a government agency, look at what they've done in this last year to overstep the bounds of what they would be able to do, even if they were just a legitimate government agency, to put a moratorium on foreclosures and evictions, for example, to tell people where and when and how they can travel, all this type of stuff, because everything falls under the hubris of health in their minds. But look at how they have used and set up their own Hollywood liaison office, funding it with $1.7 million, because that's chump change if you got an $8 billion budget, right? To, quote, get health messages into television and film. Since then, they've had a lot of things out there. They had a documentary series called Breakthrough, the BBC's Horizon, as well as episodes of TV drama Cedar Cove, even a romantic comedy, My Lockdown Romance. Oh, see, lockdown is a wonderful thing. It's romantic. It's a rom-com, according to CDC. But in 2011, on the 10th anniversary release, and it was in theaters as the 10th anniversary of the anthrax false flag attack was rolling out. And again, remember, the anthrax attack was the other shooter drop from 9/11. 2 months before 9/11, they ran the first of these simulations, Dark Winter. CDC did it, along with Johns Hopkins and others. And they did this every year, rehearsing it. But 2 months before, the first one ran 2 months before 9/11. The week after 9/11, they had the anthrax attack. 2 months later, they pushed out the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act to the states to model legislation for them to enact to do what they did last year. And so on the 10th anniversary, they're doing PR. They've already had 10 of these simulations, right? And then on the 20th anniversary, essentially, they've got their lockdown in place. It was a movie, Contagion, done by Steven Soderbergh. Nearly 1,000 pages of documents released under the Freedom of Information Act detail not only the extensive support provided to the filmmakers and cast, but also the priorities, the PR priorities of the CDC for the movie. Contagion depicts a global pandemic caused by a novel virus. They did it 10 years ago to celebrate the 10th anniversary of their first scam. Worryingly, the CDC documents are replete with the language of an intelligence agency rather than that of a public health body. The files, when they're talking about what they're going to do with this movie, the files refer to global surveillance as a necessary tool to fight the infectious disease. They even discuss the importance of security-themed messaging around the film's release. So here's what we want you as Hollywood to sell to people as a propaganda film. Very calculating. We want you to focus on surveillance as the way that we fight this disease. We want it to be security-themed messaging. The release came on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And right at the time of the anthrax attack, 10th anniversary of anthrax time, just like Bilderberg. Here in Texas, as we see our theatrical governor, Abbott, you know, doing things for show, like I mentioned at the border, there has been some good news in terms of abortion regulations that were put there by Republican legislature. And he signed those. He didn't craft those laws, but he did sign them. But he's now signed another bill that would ban abortion drugs, abortion-inducing drugs, after 7 weeks of pregnancy. And so the pro-life people are very excited about that. But think about the fact that he is pushing this vaccine that has caused thousands of fetal deaths, thousands of injuries, of pregnant women, and has also killed some children who were breastfeeding after their mothers got the injection. I've talked about some of those cases in particular. Breastfed infant dying after the nursing mother was injected. Some of these, one of the particular cases I've talked about in the past, after the mother was injected, the baby got this very strange rash and other things, and the rash was the most obvious of the side effects. And then she waited 30 days to have the other one, and about a week before she had the other one, the rash cleared up. She got the second injection, And then the rash came back, and it got much, much worse for the child. I don't remember if the child died or not in that particular case. But reproductive immunologists identified over 30,000 reports of irregular periods and bleeding post-jab. They say menstrual changes that have been reported after both the mRNA and the adenovirus vectored vaccine. So in other words, all of them. You know, you have Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca and other countries are vectored on an adenovirus, but it's just the way that it's delivered that's different. That still uses that same kind of mechanism. You know, the mRNA that we call viruses, they are delivered with encapsulated as nanoparticles, whereas they piggyback on the adenovirus with the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca. So they say it suggests that there is a connection that is likely to result to the immune response to the vaccination rather than a specific vaccine component. Indeed, the menstrual cycle can be affected by immune activation in response to various stimuli, including viral infection. In one study, women, around a quarter of those infected, experienced menstrual disruption. The UK government's vaccine adverse event system has collected more than 2,200 reports of reproductive disorders after coronavirus injections, including excessive or even absent bleeding. So this is the same type of thing where some people start bleeding, other people will have they'll have strokes, so other people will have blood clots. It's just wreaking havoc with the blood system, these engineered protein spikes. Others have delayed cycles, other hemorrhages, miscarriages, and stillbirths, not to mention what is happening to some of the kids who are breastfeeding. They said animal reproductive toxicity studies have not been completed. Well, you know, none of the studies have been completed. They ran these things for a couple of months, and then they even destroyed the control group. They told the people, well, you know, we've looked at it for a couple of months. No problem. So now what we want to do you want to take the vaccine? They can't even go back and look at the long-term effects of their control group because of what they did. But again, it is not a safety study if you don't conduct it long-term. And you don't make something a long-term study by giving it to more people over a short period of time. Even when you look at the control groups, in at least one of these studies, they gave, instead of a saline solution, they gave a meningitis vaccine to the control group. This is how they've rigged this stuff and shut down the animal studies that they have done in the past with these coronavirus vaccines, but they didn't do the animal studies with this. The government's own data reveals that at least 150,000 are probably dead in the U.S. Based on the COVID vaccines. And I want you to take a look at this chart.
My name is Dr. Jessica Rose, and I'm
I want to get a different one. This is the chart I want to hit. This is the VAERS chart. FDA authorizes emergency use COVID vaccines. And see that little red arrow? You are here. You are here. What they did was they graphed out on this thing the number of adverse events reported for vaccines on an annual basis. And it is a flat horizontal line because it really didn't vary that much on an annual basis. But as you know, in just the first few months, we have more than exceeded all of those years combined with these vaccines. But if you chart it out, and I think it's very important to look at this, if you chart it out, when these vaccines kick in, you can see it just goes straight up. Interestingly enough, that is exactly the way the chart looked in Mongolia in terms of COVID deaths. They had no COVID deaths. They had used ivermectin just like a lot of these other locations in third world countries because they didn't have the vaccines. You know, they had to get together the money to send these vaccines because these mercenary companies, you know, if you're going to put out some deadly stuff, they want to be paid for this stuff. So when they got some money together and they started giving it to these different countries, these countries where they had had zero deaths, as soon as they started the vaccination program, it looked just like this chart here. This chart. The deaths reported to VAERS by year. You can sit zero for a very long time and then shoots straight up. All right, I want to go to the, this is from last week's hearing. I had played a couple of these for you before. I've got one more I want to play for you. This is when they were talking about approving the FDA boosters. And it's surprising that they actually allowed some scientists to speak about the downside of this, because that's typically not allowed. It's only happy news. Here's what was said last week by another scientist. I played some clips from a different scientist last year. This is a second scientist talking about this at the booster hearing.
My name is Dr. Jessica Rose, and I'm a viral immunologist and computational biologist. This is a bar plot that shows the past 10 years of VAERS data plotted against the total number of adverse event reports for all vaccines for the years 2011 through 2020, and for COVID-associated products only for 2021. The left bar plot represents all adverse event reports, and the right bar plot represents all death adverse event reports. There's an over 1,000% increase in the total number of adverse events for 2021, and we are not done with 2021. This is highly anomalous on both fronts. These increased reporting rates are not due to increased rates in injection and not due to simulated reporting. This has been shown using a comparative analysis of influenza data. The onus is on the public health officials, the FDA, the CDC, and policymakers to answer to these anomalies and acknowledge the clear risk signals emerging from VAERS data and to confront the issue of COVID injectable products use risks that, in my opinion, outweigh any potential benefit associated with these products, especially for children. This is a time series plot that shows the total cumulative number of cardiovascular, immunological, and neurological adverse events for 2021 associated with COVID products. When the cumulative absolute counts are normalized to the total number of fully injected individuals in the U.S., we can see that 1 in 660 individuals are succumbing to and reporting immunological adverse events associated with the COVID products. The underreporting factor is not considered here. This is a phylogenetic tree showing the emergence of the alpha and delta variants of the COVID-19 over time. The emergence of both of these variants and their subsequent clustering arose in very close temporal proximity to the rollout of the COVID products in Israel. Israel is one of the most injected countries, and it appears from this data that this represents a clear failure of these products to provide protective immunity against emergent variants and to prevent transmission, regardless of how many additional shots administered. And this begs the question as to whether these injection rollouts are driving the emergence of the new variants. There's clear and present danger of the emergence of variants of concern if we continue with these alleged booster shots. Thank you.
Yeah, so when they say that, you know, we look at the data and we can see that as these shots are rolling out, things are getting worse. Now, the safe way to approach that when you're talking to the people who are pushing these genetic code injections is to say that they may be creating variants that are making this worse. You can't directly confront that and say, I think your protein spikes are killing people. That's what I think. That's what I think. I don't think it's variants, as I've said. You have a lot of variation with the smallpox thing, and that is not a case. That doesn't happen. Smallpox still inoculates you against that. And when they first started doing it, in the early days, what they would do is they would take a dried-up scab and they would make a cut in the arm and they would stick that into the arm just to transfer it, right, figuring that it was weakened or dead. And if they were lucky, it was. If it wasn't weakened or dead, if it was still moist and still something there, then you would get a full-on case of it and die. But that was the purpose of it. It was to train your immune system, and you didn't have to worry about any kind of variance with that. The fact that they're trying to say this is variance, and again, they're saying it's a weak, ineffective vaccine, and that is causing these variants, and so it is, they said, well, we're going to only do it for the people that have poor immune systems or elderly, which, again, makes no sense if you stop and think about that. They also pointed out, as she began the presentation, she was talking about the same type of data I was just showing you in terms of this VAERS chart and how that had shot up in terms of the number of deaths. That right there should stop it. I mean, how in the world could you justify this if you were concerned about public health? How could you not stop it based on this one chart? It is an absolute lie. It is a depopulation program. There is no doubt about it. So as this is the vaccine mandates rolling out, one person, the Los Angeles Fire Department, says for months with no vaccine, we fought fires. Now we're being criminalized and threatened with being fired if we don't get the vaccine. Same thing's happening to law enforcement officers and military, but especially to the nurses and so forth. I mean, they were there on the front lines, and they have the reluctance because they have seen people who've gotten the vaccine. A COVID vaccine consent form for children falsely claims that the jab will bring more freedom. This is out of the UK, dailyskeptic.org. And in the UK, as well as in Australia, they've decided that they're going to pretend that children can have, number one, enough information to make this decision and the maturity to consent to this. What a bold-faced lie. And yet, it's even worse than that. And the consent form that they're giving the kids, the easy-to-read is what they call it, the easy-to-read form, distributed to children between the ages of 12 and 15, claims that having a vaccine will free them from government rules that apply to the unvaccinated. In fact, the same rules apply to all children, regardless of the vaccination status. They're not going to get anything for this. They put it in writing to lie to these kids. We've already seen how the adults have been lied to. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to lock down until we get this vaccine, said Trump and Fauci. And then you get the vaccine, and you take, you know, they produce it, they roll it out, you take the vaccine, and it's still the same rules. You're still going to social distance, you're still going to wear masks, you're still not going to be able to do this or that. We're still going to keep you locked down. But now they're putting it on the form, promising these children freedom if they inject that. That's the Faucian bargain that they're making, a Faustian bargain. The devil promising you that you're going to get something that he has no intention of ever giving you. Going back to Goethe's story, and of course that story's been recirculated around over and over again in one form or the other, probably as much if not more so than Romeo and Juliet. Consent letters are being sent to parents and guardians, but children are deemed to be competent to make their own decisions if the families do not agree. And again, this, the seeds of this have been sown for decades with the UN's Convention on the Rights of the Child to take away parental rights, to say that children can make decisions about their own life. They can divorce their parents. They can contradict their parents. They can choose their gender. They can choose to inject themselves with a genetic poison. Because they're being promised freedom? I mean, at the time that we were fighting this, more than a decade ago. It's like 12 or 13 years ago, I was putting those videos together. We knew how this was going to be used to take away parental authority, but did not imagine that it was going to be used to inject a genetic code injection, a toxic spike to kill children. Didn't realize that it was going to be used to have them take dangerous drugs or have surgery starting in kindergarten to decide that they're going to be a different gender because they've got some pedophiles who are grooming them for their agenda. Never saw that coming. We just knew that you ought to have it that children don't have the authority. We didn't know exactly how they were going to roll this thing out, but we knew that the devil was in this. And boy, is it devilish. Well, they're doing the kids now. The drag queen story time hour and Fauci injections. The easy read consent form for children says you don't have to keep following the government's rules if you've been vaccinated, but they will help you to stay safe. So you don't have to do it. We're not going to force you to do it. We'll just say that if you don't do it, you can't go to school, you can't travel, you can't have a job, you can't do anything, right? But it's your choice. Hey, I'm not going to force you to do anything. Coercion isn't force, is it? Oh, yeah, it is. They said, but, you know, you don't have to do this if you're vaccinated anymore. But they'll help you to stay safe. And that includes things like social distancing, wearing a face covering, and washing your hands carefully and often. That's what they tell 12-year-old kids to get them to consent to this. Against their parents' advice in many cases. So the parents' campaign group is saying this is exceptionally wrong to be doing this to kids. Obviously it is. You look at complaints coming out of New York City restaurants. They are angry because they are now on the front lines of enforcing these vaccine mandates. And you saw the angry, and I think rightfully so, video of the man who was refused service because he wasn't vaccinated. And he said, we fought to stop this kind of discrimination as a black man. He got very angry about that. You've got now Black Lives Matter getting involved in this because the vast majority of black people in New York City are not vaccinated. So they said, we're going to be kicked out of everything. We don't like this. And so they're pushing back against these restaurants. And the restaurants are upset because there's conflicts. It's just like when they started pushing the masks on people. Because the masks and the mask mandates were preparation for all of this. We're going to have restaurants and places of business and employers push the mask on you. And we're going to say that the mask, your mask doesn't protect you, but somebody else's mask protects you. And then they do the same thing, rinse and repeat with a vaccine. We're going to roll it out through the restaurants and the retail centers and the employers, and we're going to say that even if you're vaccinated, that isn't good enough. Other people have to be vaccinated. And you're going to be the ones to enforce it for us because even with all the police that they have, they don't have enough, just like they don't have enough OSHA people to enforce these vaccine mandates for employers. So they're counting on voluntary compliance, and they're counting on making examples of individual people. That's one of the things, by the way, we've seen in Australia. They would wait until somebody was by themselves, pretty much, away from the group. So they'd come after, if they had a big group of cops, they would come after a small group of people or preferably an individual. And this has been the way that they have operated for a long time. And then there would be video of them beating up that individual, just like I showed, you know, that one guy that got body slammed. I showed that today, you know, from the back. They come after one individual. They have a video of that, and they use that to intimidate and to create a climate of fear for other people.
Shit.
That's what they did when they punched that guy in the stomach. And I've seen that myself back in down in San Antonio when there was a massive rally down there to support the fact that people could open carry long rifles at the time. We just got in Texas, we just got the ability to carry openly pistols. But at the time, it was just long rifles. And so the police there in San Antonio were harassing people who were carrying the rifles. And the reason they were carrying the rifles was they just wanted to get people to not be afraid of seeing somebody with a rifle. That used to be the world that I lived in when I was a kid. I didn't get afraid when I saw somebody with a rifle in the back of their pickup truck in the rack. I didn't think that was unusual. It didn't freak me out to see people at high school shooting rifles on a range as part of ROTC or whatever. That didn't freak me out. But people freak out when they see a gun now. So people were exercising their legal right to open carry long rifles. And then the police, though, were harassing and arresting some of these individuals on technicalities when they were by themselves. So there was a massive rally there at the Alamo. We went down and filmed that, and the police were up in the buildings taking pictures and using binoculars to spy on people and identify people, write people's names down, all this kind of stuff. But they left everybody alone until everything broke up. And then when there was just a few people around, they started harassing them again. And so that's the kind of tactics they will use to enforce these vaccine mandates. One person with a restaurant said in New York City, Tom Casatelli, a local restaurant owner there, he said, I've been targeted. I've been fined in the past. The mandate is going to hurt already struggling businesses battered by the pandemic shutdown. He said, you're already struggling. And like a lot of small businesses, you're getting hit with fines on top of reduced seating, reduced revenue, reduced ability to staff your restaurant. And you have to increase your payroll. So he's filed suit against the city claiming the indoor dining vaccine mandate is unconstitutional. He says it's not just for his business. I'm scared not only for my business. I'm scared for every business in New York City, and I'm scared for every business in the U.S., he said. And understand that it's even bigger than that. It's about our liberty and what is coming. So we've got companies that are willing to fall in line with this. I want to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about the Second Amendment and the status of the Second Amendment and what is coming. It's going to be key in some elections that are coming up. But there are red flag laws that are rolling out everywhere by Democrats. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
All right. Democrats in North Carolina are pushing for a red flag gun law. And we have an election coming up in Virginia where the Attorney General is leaning heavily into gun control ahead of the election. This is something, if you get a, you know, when you look at what is happening in Virginia, the switch from Republicans to Democrats, and of course, as Vince Agnelli has pointed out many times coming on, looking at the results there, he said they're not even running. The Republican Party there is not even trying to win the election. They're not even putting up candidates, enough candidates, if every single one of their candidates won, to control the Virginia election. We're seeing this happening in a lot of different places. Republicans are stepping back to allow the Democrats to take the lead at this time, in most cases, in many states. And so in North Carolina, they're talking about the red flag gun laws. And remember, it was a precedent that was pushed by Trump. Yeah, we just take the guns and do the due process later. And then, of course, he did gun control by executive order. And these Democrats are more than happy to pick up those precedents and run with them, as well as removing exemptions for vaccine exemptions for religious beliefs or medical reasons. He also did that, supported that as well. Apple is now beginning to research whether or not iPhones can detect mental health issues. Do you see how these two things come together? They're pushing out red flag gun laws at the same time that you now got your Big Brother monitoring device, and that's exactly what the thing was. You had the NSA laughing about that. The slides that came out, they were published as part of the Snowden leaks. It was picked up really in Germany primarily, but I've shown that many times where it had three slides. The first slide showed the 1984 Macintosh commercial for the Super Bowl. Said, who would have thought in 1984? And the next slide was that this would be Big Brother, and it shows Steve Jobs holding up an iPhone. And the third slide says, and that the idiots would line up to pay for it. They're laughing at you for getting in line and obsessing over the device, the Big Brother device, that's going to be used to spy on you. And so now Apple is beginning to research whether or not the iPhones can detect mental health issues. So if your iPhone says it, well, then they just come to your house and they take the guns and they do the due process later. And both Democrats and Republicans are just fine with that, really. When we look at what is happening in San Diego, they're trying to put up like a gun buyback program. They said gift cards for guns. At first, when I first saw that, for some reason I was thinking they're giving people, because I kind of think of San Diego as being one of the more conservative areas in California. I don't know, but they have the police there basically trying to, you know, buy off used guns and give people gift cards. They say that crime is soaring there. I don't know if it is or not, but one place where gun crime is soaring is in an Italian prison. Well, it wasn't actually soaring, it was landing. They flew in a gun into an Italian prison using a drone. The guy gets the gun and starts shooting. So, yeah, that is one example of how you cannot keep guns out of the hands of criminals. Even if you put the criminals in a prison, you can't always keep the guns out of their hands, can you? When we look at prohibition, and again, you know, I don't like drugs. I don't use drugs. I don't recommend drugs to anybody, but I also don't recommend prohibition. Because even putting people in prison there was a tragic case I remember. It was a mother in Maryland. She couldn't keep her son off of drugs. They tried to put him in rehab. Nothing worked. He was just addicted to this. They didn't think of it as a spiritual issue. They didn't try to do anything with that, no. And they were going to try to intervene. They're going to use law enforcement to stop it. In this particular case, she turned him in because she thought, well, if I can get him in prison, he can dry out and he's not going to be involved in that anymore. But he was able to still get drugs in prison somehow. He wasn't a rich person to be able to smuggle this stuff in, but he was able to get drugs and get enough of them that he overdosed and died in prison. And there are hundreds of people every year who die from drug overdoses in federal prisons. And I've said many times that if that can happen, if you can get enough drugs to overdose in prison, what kind of a society do we have to create in order to stop people from using drugs on the outside if a federal prison isn't enough to interdict it by force? It's an internal problem. But, of course, they want us all to live in a prison, and they want us all to take their lethal drugs. One last thing before we run out of time here that I didn't get a chance to get to, and that is the move in many different directions to criminalize cryptocurrencies. This is coming as our governments are moving towards having digital cash created by the central banks. It will still be a fiat system, so it'll have all the problems of the Federal Reserve money now and all the other central bank money, but especially the Federal Reserve. Fiat system that's not backed by anything. You know, the modern monetary theory, MMT, or the magic money tree, as I call it. So it'll still have all those issues. But it will be digital, so they can use it as a surveillance tool and as a control tool as to what you can buy. So now we have, coming from the SEC and the OCC, under the Biden administration, again, not a surprise since Biden hates freedom so much, that you have people in the Biden administration moving to start talking about how criminal crypto is and how they want to shut it down. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, SEC Chief Gary Gensler led many crypto industry types to believe that he would be a friend to the nascent industry, largely because he once taught a class on the subject at MIT. But instead, he came out and testified and said all exchanges need to be registered with and regulated by the SEC. Or a lot of people are going to get hurt. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to bust heads if they don't get it. He says, I don't think there's any long-term viability for private forms of money. So in the meantime, I think it's worthwhile to have an investor protection regime placed around this. What is happening with the SEC and their move against crypto perfectly mirrors the fact that Biden is going to spend $80 billion to hire 80,000 new IRS agents. They're getting ready to really crack down on all kinds of financial moves. And, of course, the key part of that is to kettle people into digital cash, because then they can give the pink slips and the universal basic income to the IRS agents who have created this situation. You have another organization, the U.S. agency that once had been the great hope of the cryptocurrency world, is now issuing strong warnings to the industry that it is in danger of echoing the toxic culture before the 2008 financial crisis. So they are equating it to, this is the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. At the same time, the SEC is coming out there and saying, we've got to shut down all private money. You have the acting chief of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency saying that we are on the path that looks similar to these bogus financial instruments that were done prior to the meltdown in mortgages and things like that. So he's equating crypto to that. It's not that at all. And so these moves that are being made to shut this all down is yet more indication that you ought to start taking a look at some, I think, financial hard money, things like gold, things like silver, especially that you can do. And I'll just throw it in. He doesn't pay me to do this, but Tony Arterburn, great guy, wisewolf.gold. He can help you with silver and gold. And we're going to need to have some help to have something that is physical and out of the clutches of these megalomaniacs. That's it for today's show. Thank you for listening.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.